da din drinci și frate, ce-ați vrea.
I was like you. You said 3 minutes.
Revolutionary.
And they fooled me. He said no. I thought I was going to stay outside. But then my neighbor said no. It's about me. That's how they meet from like that. And they kept me in your house. But they did that. It was just the decision of the movie. Well, the lockdown discussion was immediately. But who goes and what happens. We are very clear with us that we no debate him as well because of scripture. But how can we do that?
So you were in the generation.
I was just there, please. That's me. Nobody else. When Peter left prison, he met me.
There was a terrible dispute.
Then different thing.
Always in the suit to him.
Okay. Mm. Right, we all came here.
In that time, there's no one.
My grandfather was in the PC.
My grandfather. Okay. But he left the PC.
He died in the fight.
Oh, okay. Still a member? You are still a member?
I don't know. I was not born.
You must refer to the point that still in problem.
No. You have to admire Charles. He's no problem.
Yeah, I know.
Charles might survive in institutions of higher learning without another thing.
Well, yes.
Still there. There was a time when majority of the ever in the country were under power.
Yeah. But I'm losing now. You want this was about techno, huh?
That
is your leader, then. That is your tech leader.
Who?
The Vasek.
You have won the election now. Yeah, we won. He took everything.
I took everything.
But not I think on the ground you are losing more variety.
Check also the around you.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
We are just following you for certain things, right?
No, but there.
You know, the thing
is that must come from that.
We do work. We don't think on you.
No, that's
right. Everyone, if you're used to build this art, there must be some work.
Yeah. No, and that's right. He did that. He clearly shows the Habayyah's profusely. He did the revision of AFF, most of them were the religious. And you need to enhance them. That's the point that I missed. It's how to enhance the leadership that you were in qualification to them. They would have had a better state different
leadership. But our youth league was a very good league in many generations.
Not
the biggest number, with more branches than any other youth league.
Yeah.
We're far.
We've done a lot of good work. I mean, we can't really.
And we find a generational issue.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that one is uncontested. It's always the future. In the history of the youth movement. I usually know whether would you be able to see such a young person. Like Julia, very powerful.
Mm.
And many young people. You see. That's the creation of the youth. Because through the entity putting into the National Working Committee, putting in it, they have a full and big building president. These are the rules that they work out when the president of the institution. And how he's able to amass support. That's the last time that people have been just beat.
Yeah.
Peter Mukaba,
you
know. I know Marx didn't have the support that Peter would be able to
generate.
Since then, that big leaders.
Yeah, that
is
the generation
is fine. Yeah. And then this one of yours, of big cars and everything, is a total before
you. So you would agree that you are in the same generation with...
Ura.
No, not really. Kumaru is the younger
than you. No, the younger woman. Kumaru is the one cool.
Nati.
Yeah, she came too. The only one amongst them.
From
our generation. He was their organizer. He organized many of them.
But the leadership crisis in the UP.
There's no crisis in the UP.
I say.
There isn't
the generation at all.
But with the debate how young people come to the fore, you must understand if you can follow the systematic generation, there's a lot of other generations that come before us. There's a 76 generation that is not emerged at all.
And then
do another. Ah, no, it's a youngster. Yours is part of yours.
You
should
have the machine.
Don't you need to take that step together? See, there's a lot. Generation of I understand the urgency from your generation. There's urgency when we are in power. That is one thing continuous. Lee.
We
are more urgent.
Mm-hmm. No, come. We should start now. One day,
yeah, there's a lot. That
come. No, they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 15 now.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. So we observe you there and see which one.
You are not on TV?
No, I'm not on TV. No, you can't do a night, you know. We were just chatting.
Oh, okay.
It can't be captured. How can it be captured?
No. And I think you are the AP. For both of you now, you are the women. Okay,
no.
For the camera, I don't even have a movie.
You'll be amazed what that guy just can do.
I was not saying
nothing. No, it's consistent. You come, you have a youth league leader, you're a youth league leader, so there's no
other.
There's nothing, he's an older man. So you can't tell me anything about youth generation. I understand the youth, how to be grown.
Okay, so we've let out provisionally. Part 2, question for all and reply. 108 form and arrangement of questions.
There's nothing much.
Yeah, okay. Let's probably get to sub 10, which is about somebody taking charge of a question on behalf of an African member.
that has been rephrased, but for the rest there's nothing really significantly different. So two. Well, that's been reduced from 5 to 2 subdivisions, yeah.
Okay. No. We wanted to reduce our disagreement with the reduction of the division. I think while the opinion that 5 is adequate, the next effect in the practice at the moment, ministers are doing well with responding to and in a qualitative way, to what the subdivision do is to, it doesn't mean you're answering 5 questions. It assists with the elaboration of the question, to which an answer may even be one, because of how clear it would have been. So I do think that we must keep the 5 subdivisions. Unless, of course, there's going to be the justification in our view is served by a question which has 5 subdivisions moved to 2, in that they achieve this note, this objective that you are noting there. As long as questions keep to subdivision, as long as the sub is an elaboration, excuse me, of the main question, it achieves its clarity, its precision, and then the minister is able to focus. We'll keep it at broad terms, and then we're not satisfied about the answer because the question is not exhausted. That is what we see.
I think what we need to really take cognizance is that the more subdivision, the more broad the question is, and the more time that the minister is expected to have to answer to that. Otherwise, then on the subdivisions, then the answers are going to be in brief to see within the time that will be allowed for the response. But also, what is going to be much more problematic, Chair, is that when you come to follow up questions, then the problem of process responses will be a little bit problematic, and you may not get 100% of the answers that you require. Follow-up questions are on-the-spot questions put and expect the minister to respond. And the more wide the scope that follow-up questions can be made, the more problematic that the quality of response as well will definitely go down. But if they are focused, and then honorable members will really get process, answer, that really respond to their question. That would be my input on that question.
Thank you. What happened actually was that we had a very interesting session before, subcommittee, on rules. And I think Kelly will recall that Michael gave us a sort of analysis of how many questions we were processing at National Assembly compared to other assemblies. And we were saying, but why? We're not moving through as many questions as we possibly can, and also it could become a very interesting, lively session. Now, as a result of the, we said one of the possible reasons could be that it is too many subdivisions, the minister answers at length on the different subdivisions, etc., and the turnaround time of the question. By the time that you get to the supplementaries, etc., you don't really process enough questions. Now, I don't know if Michael had the information on hand, but it actually said to us what are the possible reasons. And then we suggested as a subcommittee, should we not look at this and to say, shorten it, sharpen the question, so that more can get a bite of it, so that the minister, that more questions can be processed during the 2-hour session. We also are proposing a lengthy session, but so that we can have more and more interesting, responses in the National Assembly, whereas otherwise it becomes very boring. So that was actually behind it, the reasoning.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I think maybe it's we established, because I'm the agreement of the two subdivisions, so that more people can have a about you, more questions being answered. But I just maybe want to elaborate on what kind of time extensions we're looking at, because that might make it more acceptable in understanding why we're taking away the five subdivisions and bringing the two subdivisions. Because if you think about it, we answer questions not according to a ministry, we answer questions according to a chapter. So there are days when a certain ministry might get more questions that are prioritized than another ministry, although I really try to avoid it, sometimes it's unavoidable. But I think for robust engagement, the extension time of questions is important. And I've never really understood why on questions day we start Parliament in threes instead of two, and not just go 2 to 5 p.m. and stick to the 3 to 5 p.m. Now I know ministers and cabinet meetings etc. on a Wednesday, and that's one of the considerations. But quite frankly, if you're a minister in that cluster that answering questions that day, it doesn't happen often. And I'm sure there would be no problem with the ministers being excused an hour earlier. And that would give even more bite at the cherry to have more questions answered, especially if we then maintain the two subdivisions. More questions could be fitted into that period, and even more robust debate could happen within that cluster.
I don't think it's involving the problem. And the problem is time. Then that's precisely what we should do. We should extend the time. Later on, there's actually an elaboration that we must extend the time from 2 hours to 3 hours. One, and there's a limitation that the speaker can impose that the response must be 3 minutes on the minister, unless in the judgment of the speaker, you know, we see the time and so on and so forth. So the question of the management of time must be separate to how qualitatively a question can be. It's still one question. Even if I ask the question in one sentence, it may still take, you know, it's qualitative versus quantitative. You're not resolving the quantity by limiting it to two. So I'm saying, in five divisions, you actually could improve on the quality of the question, and the time it could take for it to be answered in a shorter time. But I think here, this talks about quantity as opposed to quantity. Time is dealt with separately. Either way, there are 3 minutes to respond in the judgment of the speaker. We have a later proposal to extend to. So I'm just worried, trying to say, man, let's not impose too much restrictions on ourselves. Let's give the minister and let's give them harm. Five divisions is good. Even if they're not exhaustive, but you know, part of the question is part of the provision of the discourse to the House. Good.
Let me check
with
Natasha.
Chair, I understand what my colleague is saying, and I do agree that it's substance and quality over quantity. But then it also brings us to the point, Chair, where when you get an answer from a minister, which I think frustrates everyone, when you get an answer when the minister will stand up and say yes, and then sit down, or go no, and then sit down. No, why? Or yes, why? You know what I mean? I mean, then it also goes to making sure that the ministers are held accountable to give substantive and quality answers to the questions as well. Because it's very easy to have five subsections that say, are there new hospitals being built? And the minister stands up and says no, and sits down. Why aren't the new hospitals being built? Because then that leads on to a whole different set of issues as well. So I think, I don't know how we do that as a rules committee, but we hold ministers accountable for giving quality answers. If we have the respect to ask quality questions, then we must give quality answers.
Yeah. Let me
take
the last one in our context.
What the is saying actually supports the idea of more subdivisions. I think my understanding was that the reason was make the questions more political rather than statistical or factual. And part of the reason for that was too many questions remain unanswered for too long because there's too much work involved in providing the reply. So I think those are some of the concerns that they said, let's make it more funky, more political, so that the minister can respond very quickly and you can have more of a political debate flowing rather than to focus on factual stuff. But that was my understanding of the argument.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
is that quite understanding? The point really was that all our questions are solid cooperation by its reaction. That's a question for information, a written question. If you want information, you the written question. But if you want to engage the minister, the minister comes there, he's not even prepared sometimes. He comes there, there are a lot of questions. But we thought that if you want to improve the quality of this question for oral replies, that really meant for political engagement, short, precise political engagement between a member and the member of the executive and the church. And then the product is important that we do so, because we do have another mechanism which wants the
information.
You write a question and the minister comes with a long analysis and a lot of things. But this one, the report general, question for oral replies, a political question. And not question for statistics about how many hospitals, and then in the school to what you want to do with those, what you want to do with that and that. So that doesn't really mean that, because you can then get that information on the school. That was raised on the issue, therefore we must see whether that is helpful to ensure that we reduce the quality then of questions become. But also, that if the question is put for oral replies, that's the vision and many. The minister spent more time raised as answering in terms of many other areas. And then you lose what you wanted to catch, the real politics of the purpose of putting the question. That was the motivation in the task team at the time.
You know, I would agree with the thing that that particular objective is not lost with Christ our Jesus. Not lost. Actually, quality, as long as people understand that a subdivision is part of the original question, a subdivision is to make sure that the meaning is to guide the answer to a specific question. That's on one hand. Yeah? But I'm not sure that I agree, Mandadu. Information is not political. There's information that is political. There's information that you want the minister to send. I remember the other day, we asked Minister of Higher Education, for instance, well, how many students do you want to take to university next year? Because it was during the budget vote, for instance. Right? So, okay, you want this margin, but how many people, how many students, how many places have you prepared next year in order to... You come to the question submitted on time, that is what is submitted before. It's so that the minister prepares. He's not making the question for the first time. But it's important for the confidence of our people, to build political confidence itself, for a minister to stand there and say, last year we've prepared this number of places in the university, were included by this much, that's why we want this amount of money. And that is the answer to that question. It empowers the discourse, information, and public accountability. It's not accountability should not be limited to why only. How is important and what is important as well, as part of the public discourse. So I would argue that we are not losing anything. But if we limit it to two, we are precisely being threatened with that question of the minister, you know, somebody posing a question too broadly. And it's not too specific. I mean, I'm not convinced.
Okay, I'm going to try to convince you. A five-part question tends to become diluted politically. And if you want to have your questions answered, if you keep your follow-ups or your main questions two parts, you've got to keep follow-ups after that. Your minister can get through more questions. By keeping it to a five-part question, remember you've got a very brief minute to give your question. The minister has got 3 minutes. Giving the minister too much time to play with by giving a five-part question. So in a true hard question, you're short, you're shot, you're in transit, you're holding the minister to account, but at the same time, you're also allowing the minister to get through more questions.
So
just
repeat something. Are we talking to questions? Share through you. I just want a quick clarity because my understanding is that I'm not dealing with subdivisions in as far as oral follow-up are concerned. We are dealing with subdivisions in as far as in the main question to which the minister orally replies. But you would have put that question on paper. But when you follow up, you don't necessarily have five subdivisions. You follow up on the basis of the question. Yeah, of the reply and the question that you originally asked. But is that, I just wanted that clarity, okay. Yeah, that person, I let's not be phrased in that way. That you're saying that if all the time is available for a minister to reply, as many subdivisions as you can that you put, you'll get more information, or of course it will be of quality because the minister will have had long time to have prepared that. But now you've got a limitation of the time that the minister must form. The more subdivision you have, you are actually dividing the time that's available to respond to them. Now if it is one sharp forecast or two of them in 3 minutes, then you can expect that 1.5 minutes will be spent responding to a particular sub-question. And then the other 1.5, if you've got more than that, then you can understand that it's more little time will be given to respond to that. And therefore, the quality of the answer that you are going to get, or the clarity of the answer, then it is in question. But over and above that, what I'm trying to raise with the, I thought I've made the point, but when I'm hearing the response, it's like I've not made the point. What I'm saying is that the more subdivisions that you put in, the wider is the scope that the minister must talk to. And when follow-up questions come, then they are within that wider scope. Then you can expect that the quality of response on those spot-on questions at that time on follow-up, the quality of the questions that may not be to what you will expect. Because now you say, why do I open scope? But then it should be in the interest of members of parliament to ask a question and receive a processed, genuine, complete answer so that you are able to actually move on with that answer rather than to get, you know, it's a partly prepared answer which it forces you to make a follow-up. But then in terms of follow-up questions, then the presiding officer says, you have your follow-up and you still have the ability to make another follow-up. Because you have actually opened the door, ask the wide, wide question.
Okay. Well, I thought that everyone that was late was clarified now to the honorable because we are fine in the subdivision, allowing enough time to go for the oral follow-up question. The really interesting part of any question is in the follow-up oral question. And it was there. The rich man, of course, the minister comes there, he went prepared because the question is given to him on time. But always what is very exciting is when members and then raise question and a follow-up question. Therefore, I'm not sure that time. We must balance the questions posed and answered in terms of preparation and the follow-up very focused, very hard question that need a total answer at the meeting there. Far better, in fact, the House when members are much more on oral level, their house become very vibrant. But if for questions that are prepared, the minister will read the course all the answers there. If that five, you take the entire time reading all the answers for the five subdivisions, it doesn't assist members. Because members, what they want is a follow-up political engagement in the oral level with the minister. They don't want written answers because already they do have the mechanism to put written questions. I thought that was really the issue that we must reduce the number on us, but I think the door is putting another point. I think we'll come back to each. I think we must allow Ombudsman to look at it. But it doesn't assist him enough. In fact, it's not disadvantaging him at all. Because we'll have more time to make oral follow-up
question rather than all the reason and all that are there. That happens in a consideration that holding the interest to account, we all agree on that, that we should be doing. We should be very robust. And then, of course, we'll be diligent ourselves that we should do everything within the rules of that. Let me say, Nyan, in Kenya. Oh, Nyan, what do you want to hear?
I want to hear you.
Yeah,
okay, maybe for you propose.
No, no. Chaplain, the problem is resolved through time allocation. Like what members are talking about, there are several proposals that have been made about time allocation, that whatever the question you ask, there is a time allocation to the time that the minister has to give it. Now, I'm saying to all of us here that the question of language limitation is doesn't resolve. I wish I could give examples, but it doesn't resolve that. So the rule should be, you know, you have a follow-up that can have subdivisions or sub-questions, but whatever question it is, the minister has 3 minutes to reply. And so the minister in preparation will say, okay, this is the question that has been written. You are not the one who's taking time asking the question. So I'm not sure how it's resolved. I think the proposals have already dealt with quantity of time that is spent on questions. Let's allow people to phrase their questions in the best manner of possibly they feel that this is the question I am asking. By not like imposing limitations on subdivision. We'll even start saying, well, it must be limited to 100 ways. It must be limited to 4 commas or something. That is it's not resolving the question. If you are concerned about the quantity of time spent on the question, you resolve it through time. The quality of the question, to the extent to which possible, let's allow the question to be qualitatively asked.
The problem of our own understanding, we understanding what you accommodate you. You were saying earlier here that there would even be questions of being a cluster, which means that where our society has developed, if you deal with the environment, you'll end up with the security of the environment, you'll end up with a lot of things that pertain to that particular question. And it's a challenge, you see. But also for us, it should not just be about us engaging the executive inside the house. What is it that both you as an opposition member want the minister to be able to assist in the training to the broader society? Society must learn something. If you are concise and focused, society benefits. But if you spend the time there, it's more about ourselves, taking ourselves to talk to each other about issues. So for us, it's more like, how do we make sure that the society do get answers and understand what you have prepared for as an opposition leader? So it's about broader gain for the broader society and a gain for you as any member there is a leader of an opposition party. What is it that you can get out of a particular minister? So one, you get a minister to be accountable, but two, Parliament's overall role is to find answers for society. And if ever we spend more time just allowing you and the minister to talk to each other for a very long time, society doesn't benefit, you see. That's the type of why we say, let's just try to define it. We might not just be given the best solution, but let's look into it as something that must broaden and help the society and help us and help the opposition parties in how we're conducting our work here inside the institution.
I want to propose to the President, because in all responses, the honorable members are telling me about time, the time that you spend on oral replies and oral whatever, and I'm saying that is definitely important. But the question that honorable members want to deal with is captured in the first part of the question, that is, questions, oral reply must be concise.
Yeah.
As to how many subdivisions they have, it does not resolve the question of time. So my proposal would be, you rather say, and the subdivisions must be related, because they must not divert from the original question. Imposing that it must be 2 parts or 4 parts or 5 parts, whether it becomes in 10 or 2 or 3 or 1, the minister has 3 minutes, according to the data proposal, to reply. So as a person who posed the question, you must be mindful that for oral reply, the minister has 3 minutes. Therefore, I'm going to, because it could assist the precision or the conciseness of the question. for it to be in five divisions. I told you.
Is that a wrong way to question?
TDN?
No.
In essence, an oral question, as you have said it before, is not to get information. An oral question is an opportunity for political interaction. So you have the answer. In fact, the purpose is to engage the minister in such a way that you in fact compel him to give you wrong information, to say, no, but minister, according to my source of information, or according to a parliamentary question that you answered last year or whatever, these are the facts. So, you see, I was looking at the guide of procedure as well. We still had five subdivisions there, but we also said specifically that the subdivisions, you couldn't have in more than two of those subdivisions figures. Now, all of that relates to, otherwise you're giving us a 3 minutes reply, you want to have all the information that you now think you must have, and in the meantime then you can stand up and say, but minister, you didn't answer sub two of the question. So clearly we must all agree what is the purpose of an oral session. An oral session is a quick interaction between members of parliament and the executive. And I think that is what we have identified as a serious weakness. Why also, when we have sessions, question sessions in Parliament, very few occasions we have a full gallery of media interested in what is happening there, because it is becoming so lackadaisical, etc. We want to have a sharp interaction. And that was the reason why we have in fact said it should be an opportunity where there's a quick response by the minister and then supplementary question by different parties, so that they could elucidate other components of the reply that the minister gave. Because ultimately your supplementary question must relate to the reply of the minister. That is the essence. Thank
you. No, that's right. We are going to generally fine.
Yes.
In this sense, it's fine. He's assisting in the most of the law, it's more time, because he's a very progressive member of Parliament.
Yes.
And then he wants to engage, really engage, yeah. Enough time for him, but also for sensitive on real issues that want to move. Okay. Let us move on. I think we are clear on that. If the speaker, sub three,
you want to say anything there? You are fine?
It's fine.
Super.
Yeah. Again, there's an anti-intellectual demonization of the critics here. That falls outside the realm of what could be political. I urge the members that not all statistical requirements related questions are non-political. And both in the old rule and the new rule, this is anti-question. Sometimes you want to ask the minister, part of holding the academy together and says, do you know what you're dealing with? The minister that we doubt whether they understand what they are dealing with, fishery and what. You sometimes want to get a sense and to expose the minister that evidently looks like you're not taking your job seriously in terms of so, and it could be political for them to demonstrate that they understand this is the number of hospitals, these are the patients that you saw, that is not the knowledge then relegated to a non-political realm of like chief of staff or something. So I'm not comfortable. It's anti-question, this thing of limiting statistics. Mm-hmm. So I would propose, I'm perfectly sure. I would really propose that we don't become too prescriptive. We hold these things at the level of principle to allow the questions that are in any way, these questions are being processed at the same time. The speaker will come back to you and say, I think you should put it this way. They're going through a lot of process already that we are comfortable with. And then deciding in a room that statistics are not political, I think is a reactionary.
Is it not?
I think just to add to the mix, I think the concern was that the replies are statistical. And statistical replies is very difficult for a minister to read out whole columns of figures, for instance. So their response in writing is the only way to deal with it. There are occasions when a minister will say, look, the information is a long list of figures, a table of figures, can I put it on the table rather than read it out? And then there's no supplement that's allowed either. So I think the concern is more about the replies than about the actual question itself. I'm correct, my question is.
No, Chair, that's exactly what one wanted to indicate, that it's not a question that statistics are, it's not political, you know. The question is the deadline for the closing of the questions for oral reply. When is that in relation to the date of those oral replies? If it closes 5 days or whatever, and then the minister is going to collect data from different provincial departments or whatever, and then that time available, then the time is not available. Some other information needs to be collected from different centers across the whole country to actually answer that particular question. And therefore, it doesn't really help to force that question should be answered in an oral reply when you are looking at statistics of people with what in hospitals or in the whole country. And there must be some reasonability of the time that is required to actually put together that response. And therefore, it begs for some sort of intervention. It's not the question that is not political. It's the question of actually arriving at that resource that is required, that there is quality. Because your life is to have quality. And you know that in departments, if you are collecting data from institutions around the country, that information still has to be processed at the national level before it actually finds its way to the ministry. And the time is involved.
The problem may come with the question of degree. Because if you look at where the question of the rule is phrased, it can be any question of statistics. So you can say the answer to the question is 4 or 1. That's a statistical answer. And therefore the question, Stephen made a very good question in the place of the question for written class. So it shouldn't just be something along the line of a highly statistical nature. So to qualify the matter to some extent, so the matter is so technical, so detailed, that I can't give the answer. And then the speaker may say, well, then you must reply writing. But if you can't, if you just say, oh, it's just a statistic, and you can't give the answer, then that is too simple, a response.
No, I think we need to find a compromise. You see, it's not... Now, Marshall, it's not a question of preparation. You prepare as much as you can, or the question might have been posed earlier. But this, what this one is about, inside the house, the intervention of the speaker, when every information that they've looked for has been provided. Now, we said that level that we need to resolve this. Then, when does the speaker really intervene in a question? Is that honorable dose is raising new statistical demands? Then in that level the speaker must really intervene, because then the minister might not be prepared, you see. But if ever the question that Honourable has laid long before, I know from where we sit there, and how we assist members of the relative to prepare for questions, we have long had got all the information quite on time to be able to allow that member to provide the answer inside the house. So it's not about that. It's how do we find that balance in the intervention of the speaker. When an honorable member wants to make a follow-up, the honorable member doesn't got a point. That is not defined only around statistical demands, you see. That is the only time that you get the speaker to come in. That's why it's in a more broader way of how do we make sure that when the speaker doesn't take away the right of the member to make follow-up and they find correct information. But the speaker also keep guard, as I said, how much prepared is information that the minister has prepared on the question that has been asked earlier, which have the capacity to immediately get into the proper details as being expected of the member. That is the balance we are looking for, and maybe part of what the honor party is saying there, that it's high statistical, or it's a total new question of statistics. Then we must speak a mass interview. But generally, we expect members and for all of us parties that prepare for questions, that the party, the minister must arrive there on the basis of full information that is needed. Let's not work out something that we assume that the minister would never have answers. That's the dereliction of duty, and that is very wrong, you see. Let's deal with the intervention of the speaker, at which stage that speaker intervened. The third question is, for example, is that you will be provided an answer, and the answer has come back, but the honorable member is not yet happy about the statistics that have been provided. He can identify, but if that becomes a problem, it's at that level that the speaker must be able to give his power to interpret. It's in the House, he will question that.
I just want to say that, you know, in the questions we have submitted statistical questions, but these were like sort of guided by now the dirty word, the practice. And the practice basically determined on one page, on page 199 of the MNI, determined that aren't two statistics may be requested within a question, and these would not include days. So for example, a member may ask, on how many days did a minister travel to and fro from a particular destination? And so there may be like 25 days. But that would not therefore become a statistical question, but a statistical question would be when you ask more than two figures. And that was the limitation placed on questions, because we, in the past, it must known, not just in our parliament, but in other parliaments also, that statistics sometimes, reading it, is not always followed. And then supplementary questions become misdirected or unfocused. And that's why we want to try and avoid a situation where a reply that are too statistical because of the question is becoming almost unusable in the assembly at that particular point in time. That's why they normally become the subject of the 10 questions.
Okay. Yeah, Chair, it looks like maybe I'm misunderstanding something here, Chair. This is our rule here. I have known this to be applicable at the time of putting together the question paper. This one to be applicable to the time of putting together the question paper, not on the follow-up questions in the House. And that's my, that was my understanding. That's why then I read the point, because of the explanation and the understanding that we had on this specific topic. Because in the House for follow-up questions, and then the presiding officer indicated that no, it's suitable question or whatever at that specific time. But this one, I knew it to be applicable at the time of putting together the question paper. I for the question paper. That's why I was saying that even on the briefings that we have had when we have followed this particular, but that when it comes to this questions that require a whole lot of statistics, when you almost need a table on the question that you have asked, that the minister must give a table, then there is a specific problem of time required to collect that data and even verify and make sure that that data, as you receive it from the particular center, is correct and it is that answer to the particular question before the minister can even come and talk to it in the House. Because numbers are numbers, you must understand, numbers are numbers. If you start reading a table in front of people, you can have a lot of interpretations to the numbers, and different interpretations, and that was my understanding of the question, Chair. So that's why I mean, I need clarification whether this sub-ruler had the same understanding, that it applies at the time of putting together the question paper, or in the House when I with the follow-up question, because if I understood from Honorable Boy, then it looks like you are talking to a time when there are follow-up questions. Yes, there is a little bit of a difference on this specific subject where it applies.
Okay, the original question is put. And the proposal that we're making then, that we put our original question into substitution.
That's the problem of the question. The question has to put to the minister, for the minister to answer it, orally. You have five, you are proposing it two, because you wanted two to have two staff that have been applied to put the follow-up question. Not the main effort, but also saying the question is the right. The question must be, almost the podcast question, in fact. Follow-up question, a podcast question. That's the part we are putting there. And then follow-up, there we can make follow-up a camera, the meditation, but we can make follow-up as much, but we're talking about the main question that we are putting on the machine. You understand, I think we correct if you understand in that one. But we're talking about the main question. That is God to the minister to answer, to all of them. And that we should be choose to five, two from five. This has been allowed honorable those in a time to make improper follow-up questions, given the answer that the minister has given. And those that think one that's in
one. Yeah. Yes, I think that when I'm dealing with the original problem with the... I understood it the same, that we are talking about composition of written questions for oral reply. And I'm reconciled by including the word Hayi. Because you know the danger that we are also walking into here. Now, we think too much for ministers. Don't protect members. Because the minister can respond statistically. We say, no, one question people do that. But a minister can arrive there and give you statistics. Sometimes they do that. And there are no rules that say to them, no, the questions must be less statistical and more political and all those things. There are too much, that's why I was saying, that flexibility allows, because I'm worried about the protection of members myself. Ministers, because these are about ministers being assisted, being guided and all those things, and to the limitation in my view, that's my worry. So, I'm reconciled really by the Honorable Boy's input that let's, and yeah.
My good friend.
My best friend. That is my highly statistical. But I do appreciate the sense where a minister is not on the rampage of numbers that they don't want to explain, they don't want to be held accountable for. But in my polling of questions, I know that there are ways in which the statistics can help me, to arm me in holding the minister accountable. And I don't want we leave it like this. So, if in the opinion of the speaker the question is highly statistical, and probably she has to maybe bring it back to me and I will convince her, that type of interaction. To that extent, I'm happy.
Okay.
Let's move. You guys know the language, but the language works here. The word is highly.
The speaker.
Okay, no, I think it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Two questions per member.
Yeah.
Sure. Sub-5, I think, is this. Any point on sub-5?
No.
Sub-6, the question that is submitted for oral response must be placed on the question paper.
Yeah.
Fine? Now it's 2 working days instead of 6 working days. Are we fine with that?
Yes. Sub-7.
And let's move on then.
Sub-7.
And deal with sub-7. But this, of course, there are a lot of proposals from the agency side.
No.
You are not no proposal?
No.
Sub-7,
yes.
And with the resolution that you have had made before 12 on the day of the question, okay?
That's fine.
I think that's fine. And let's move on. 109? Yes,
We put note the flag as an option. Do we retain it or do I take it up now? Flag as an option is without notice. Questions without notice.
It's the first topic that I might be the proper.
I'm talking about the under notes, sub 2, flag as an option.
Okay.
Because questions you put without notice.
Not an option.
Huh?
Yeah. Thank you. We can remove the thing.
Hang on. I want to put you. I need to find this.
Yeah.
On top of this. Standard options are 2, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Huh? 1 is fine, is that right? And then 2 sets leg as an option. That is subscript A, B, 2, A, B, C, D, E.
That's mean for the
that is the A is the proposal.
No.
Okay. Is there can you explain this? The suggestion was that we should, that the Rules Committee should look further at some point at the possibility of putting questions without any notice. That the members get up in the House without any prior notice, put a question to a minister, the minister replies. It could be dealt with like member statements, there'd be no supplementary questions would apply, and we suggest this would contribute to the vibrant and relevant Parliament. But, you know, this was just flagged as an option for further consideration in the course of time in the Rules Committee.
Okay,
Chairperson, I have already indicated that I don't think we actually have the wherewithal to deal with that matter now. I think we should try to process the rules, and then when we want to come back to some outstanding issues, then we can consider that. But for now, it is just...
I would agree with the because there is no precedent for this just yet. It's something new. And you know, we must come back to it and give it some thought. And then I don't know if it might be sizing with interpolation, but not really. You know, we could bring it in there, but I think I would also agree that we park it for now.
It's not very new actually. Rule 107.1 has always been, you know, in the rules. And 107.1 provides for, you know, just going to the rules. And it's a rule that was never ever used or applied. Except that otherwise provided in these rules over the prior consent of the speaker, notice must be given.
Yeah.
So it means that if a speaker consents, notice need not be given. So you may have a session. And there were, in my reading of the past practices, there were 2 questions that were without, where notice was not given, in terms of 107.1, the prior content of the speaker. But it was not quite intended as the rule was, because the question was actually published. So you did not, so there was a notice given, but it was published the day before the questionnaire. So 107.1 has been on the, and then he also say in 94, President Mandela was also subjected to questions without notice. But this practice was later discontinued. So it's something that always been there. Yeah. And 107 has never been used.
It can be there without using it, yeah. Yes.
I'm happy that the historic memory is the one that pointed it out, because our blue attack is not new, and we must not discount it. Actually, it's a very progressive proposal. We must, in my view, in the spirit with which we've been interrogating the section, it could give it some of the arguments that accept that can have a written reply, a written question from power reply that really has some vision. If I am guaranteed that one day I will ask a minister spontaneously some of the questions, provides not only for a more vibrant, that is, it provides for possibilities of very authentic conversation, where leadership is demonstrated and so on and so forth. Now, why? Because all replies follow up are limited as well. One could treat that section to say, no, but you have an opportunity to ask questions without notice. But they are limited to the original questions. They are replies. I would argue that it's not, It exists as a practice, but I remember that Mandela was done that. I also know that when something is provided that, it means that the other can happen. But we need a section. As I'm agreeing with the... I don't know who's proposal is this. I thought it was a proposal of the committee.
Yes.
So it's not a proposal of the... So I think let's get the... Then the consultants. If myself, I can go develop this thing tomorrow. But let's integrate it. It's the most innovative, most progressive of the proposals. Actually develop a section. A section that says maybe twice a year. Once the first 6 months of the year and the second 6 months of the year, we'll use one session of oral questions and oral replies without questions. Without notices. Or the last hour of the oral what will be used for such a session. Let's explore those two options and come. It's not too much work. Let's not perform it. It's not too much work. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say, Chair, let's go ahead. We'll give you this in the same flag as an option D. This is contribute to a more vibrant and relevant parliament. The idea of a Senate notice period and then the question was interested in the answer. Members should also be in the position to ask difficult questions. This mechanism could further be useful for asking constituency-based questions. So it does have a lot of politics involved and needs. So you would really want to ask, why are you removing this affair stuff from housing from my constituency? It's a very small thing, but you know that what is happening within. But it connects you to politics of what happens on the ground. It comes to what you've been emphasizing, that let's not undermine ministers. Let's allow them to know what is going on in their own constituencies within their own society. So for me, the politics of how, the politics of keeping it is quite relevant, but how we develop it properly so that it can benefit all of us is what is important. You see. So if we volunteer to do something honorable for those, make that appreciation. Yeah, let's engage in it. It's an important, those rules, as I said, are reviewing them based on whatever happened in the past, and to be able to give a top right as parliament, as an institution, of how we look at society and the state of society and its own challenges. Let's develop it.
What they have around problems around the world, which I've seen in a British province and I've seen in American House of Representatives, where they have what they call backbench and snap debates. They often follow questions and answer sessions, either to ministers or to senators or whatever. And then a backbencher, what's defined as, you know, someone that doesn't get an opportunity to talk often, literally stand up and say to the Speaker of the House, for the next hour, I would like to discuss the road memorial. And Parliament, following the questions and answers, and then has a backbencher stand up and have a debate. And what they do is they rotate it on the basis in America to be a Republican, or on the left side to be a Democrat, and in England to be a Tory, and to be a whoever, and so they rotate it. And that might also be a nice idea that we can bring in after a questions and answer session to have one of these snap debates where only the party that had that opportunity on day will know what the debate will be, and then set up the questions and answer session for an hour. You have a snap debate on something that's happening in the country at the moment. Because that way, that's really a key to Parliament, because that's bringing true democracy into Parliament.
Okay,
colleagues,
I think...
Michael, we are saying this is the richest for some time, never use the rule.
Yes.
It seems now we are saying that we must work it out in such a way that it can be implemented. And we have already asked you to have many trainers for reactivate. It's just imagine too many things left. I think the platform it was proposed once in the culture is the platform for members to post questions without notice. But it, our view has one in that quarter. But it seems also once in five years, really, I think what you should say. And then accommodate also, because now we have agreed that there are many plenaries for other debates where people don't compare the everything issues. We should overwork again when you know very well that
the problem that is raised in also to ensure that members go to their constituents more than to in Parliament. They must balance the two, by the way. Just to ensure that. I think questions, those you are making a point that you wouldn't mind to expand on 2A, B, C, D, and D. And then tomorrow, as we meet, then you come in raise this area, and then CAF also look at that. If there are experiences all over the country, look at the change. There will always be experiences. But the point that we should always avoid is to behave as if ministers should not account in the chair. And then, in fact, it's one of the points that we raised. So, yeah, that's part of the issue. That when the president is answering a question in the chamber, he's able to answer any question the way you want to answer. And he has been extremely good in answering those questions. Then the chamber also said that there will be no question in the house anywhere. You must allow members to answer questions. Those are very capable in answering this question. Yeah. I think it's important that we do that. Yes.
There are two underlying principles that need to be put in mind. The first is that if you ask a question about your constituency, for instance, you can't expect the minister to know offhand the answer to that. So the questions must be of a broad political nature, relative to the responsibilities of the minister. The second point is that the benefit is that the minister, whoever the minister is going to leave, is going to have to answer questions, will sit down with his or her official staff and say, what are the issues affecting my department at the moment? What questions can I expect? And so the benefit is that the minister, through this process, makes a greater effort to be aware of all of the issues affecting that ministry at any time. So that's the benefit of, and that's what I believe in the UK is the situation. The Prime Minister answers questions without notice, and it means he sits down for half a day in advance of that with his advisors to say, well, what are the issues? What can I expect? And so there are the two sides of the coin.
The reality that we are dealing with human beings, activists, politicians, they're supposed to know what is going on in society. And there's no other way. I appreciate that Honorable Joseph said that let's not run human beings or our ministers by strength. We need to write them everything for them. What we expect is that people, they stay in Northwest and they should know what's going on in Northwest. And if I say in your constituency in Northwest, this is what is happening, somebody must have a sense and give an answer. And you see, earlier there was a question of super ministers answering. If you can't answer this, it's over to another minister who knows the environment. You can answer the question. Let's not see, but what Parliament must be able to achieve, one, is to keep ministers to account. Two, is to accommodate society and its own questions. You see. So this society is what it is about. The strikes that are taking place outside here. How do you make, are you going to affect one minister's answer about the strike? When is that brought forward that question of what do we do? So any minister who's got a potential, who's got a capability politically, which anyone, any party that has provided us with ministers in this country should know that these are activists and it's supposed to be known what we want. It's not an activist. There's no way you become a minister if you are seated in a board, locked up, you don't know what's going on in society. Actually, this one gives us the opportunity of engaging and allowing us to any other person, any human being that knows what's going on in this country to give us access. And for me, that progress is very much important. That approach is very valuable to assist society and assist everybody to understand what is going on. Yeah.
No, I think we are clear that we are building on the rule that is execution.
Yeah.
We want it to be implemented. First, the decision will be taken by a programming. We still have a programming committee.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
No, it doesn't make decisions.
The programming committee, don't dissolve this one.
No,
programming committee work on consensus. When consensus are not reached, majority decision prevails.
I know we are.
But I think let's allow them the team to work it out with some views.
Mm.
Present it tomorrow, we look at it. And there will be no harm. And there will be surprised how ministers are prepared to answer all these questions. And then happy, so I think it's going to work for them. Okay. You want to make
a quick comment that, by the way, the only people who are able to engage ministers like that in this country are the journalists.
Yeah.
Ministers are used to having to answer questions without having, when they go for the press conference, we are not inventing totally outside, we're just making it an integrated part of our practice within the official space of Parliament. And they must be able to know that, hey, Maybe we could find out what are the issues on the ground. And it is very, very, very useful. Accountability to that thing woman can bring. That's what I must say, that it's already happening with journalists. I have to bring it to the house.
Okay. Okay, colleagues, welcome. Tomorrow we are taking care of it. Okay, let's proceed. And one of my children is very happy. After I really have a solution. 2 years time. Even now. The matter is closed. Can we proceed on further? Any issue? And then I think you're giving some time. I thought, and so please trust me, Jay is a very popular guy. And then both of the partners are saying also that issue there. Are we fine with that one?
Quite.
Notes is fine. AEC, you have written some notes here.
No. You are confusing. Some of the notes originate from the task. It's only when it says ANP proposal or ANP note that it is an ANP note.
No, I'm bringing your attention. That's the notes.
In your document.
Where?
In your document.
Page?
In the same
document.
Okay. Yeah. It's
no, okay. I thought we might get a quick explanation.
Okay.
I know that Honorable Mashira will want to imagine the fact that I can just can you get an indulgence of from Chief Whip to Rules Committee? That is the proposed change.
On what? On colour?
No, I'm on 9. Didn't we have that 7?
No,
we have 7. Oh, sorry, Chief. So
that's
on 9.
7 is what, 8 is what, 9? Those you want to do so?
No, yeah, I just need a quick explanation of the change.
No, man, just listen. One listen from the question.
The Chief of Forum is a forum, it's not a decision-making body. And whatever they decide eventually, and they don't have the powers to, and that's why I decided to sit with the Rules Committee, who has powers of decision making. If you particularly look at Rule 189, you will see note appropriate amendments to Rule 221, functions and powers of Chief of Forum requires consideration, because they don't have decision making powers, it's just forum.
Discussion forum, consultation.
Okay, now I think the point is that Chief Whip's forum is for consultation purposes, not decision making, and persuade us in the Rules Committee to agree with them and become the decision of the Rules Committee. Of course, it's a very important forum. Very important forum. Apparently, I'm not sharing the name of the Chief Whip, but the most important for the Court of Appeal. And then, by still, they ended up taking more power. Because we are made a time of 2 hours. And then took everything to that fashion.
You are thinking about your current Chief Whip that you don't want to
you must put it back in so that you can have him.
The point that you are raising is that you have to work in the office of the Chief Whip for, I think that's what you are saying that I'm going to do. But you can't do without meeting with the Chief Whip and see and that's what they should do. And but it's not a decision making structure. And then the consultative structure. They don't take any decision, but they can influence decision making processes.
No, you see, it is the last line that says that order is determined by the Chief Whip or the Rules Committee. Yeah, that's something that they focus on allowing the Rules Committee because all decisions that have been made is more programming, what is going to come first and what is going to come out. Chief Whip Forum is a political forum, it must intervene in political matters. This one more determining what is the first issue to be on the agenda, this is what is going to happen. And then that's what will be done by the Rules Committee. That's the difference to what flashlight is doing.
The rule?
No, you see, the spirit of the rule, my reading of it, is because ordinarily, touches are the ones that the decision of the sequence of questions on the question paper rotates without interruption for the duration of an annual session according to the order in which members of the respective parties may put questions. So why I think is because you are only able to really find an interruption to that through a political forum, as opposed to like, you know, in the chief group's forum, don't vote. So the all I'm saying is that what the anchor of it is, such an interruption can only come through consensus. But when you take it to the rules committee, it's going to be imposed. But the spirit of, no, the spirit of it was, why is it the chief group's forum? Because the chief group's forum normally doesn't, we don't raise there in the chief group's forum vote. As we sit there. We persuade one another until we find each other. And I thought that the anchor of it is precisely that if such an interruption should occur, it must only be through a political consensus. It must be precisely the body whose capacity is to reach decisions by consultation and not by... But if you take it to the... if you take it to the rules of it, actually in the last session I will be there, what else do you do? The rule discourages that. I don't know. Of course, there's a lot of sarcasm that I'm throwing, but the wisdom I thought of this clause is precisely that if such an interruption is so important that it shouldn't just be like, you know, because like taking a decision in some like voting or something. But when you take it to rules of it, it may be subjected in that sense. The decision to disrupt must be formed through a consultative forum, and the whole consultative forum with that magnitude is the chief scholar. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm reading the spirit, not the letter, man. The spirit of the law.
At the moment, the rules provide that all sequence issues are determined by the rules committee. The sequence of member statements throughout the year. And then from time to time, and maybe once a year, maybe more often if necessary, the rules committee can meet to redetermine that sequence. And this is just one of those sequence issues. You find that restrictions to the president, for instance, the sequence of party opportunities is again determined by the rules committee. It depends on the size of each committee and so on. Of each party, I'm sorry. Of each party in the House.
I think there are rules. The subcommittee proposed the rules. We have deleted the two rules because not decision making such a but they can have a discussion and try to influence the rules committee because the chief would be in the rules committee.
Yeah.
If they come to the rules committee and agree on that, they can come and convince us in the rules committee. So then a decision will be made then at the rules committee. There will be no harm in doing that. It's a very important forum that you are forming. Mm-hmm. But do you sit there? You're not a chief, you're not a chief.
It's
just
that they
you must live with that, then you must accept it.
You are right.
No,
it can't be contested.
So here there's an issue near the government. How important is it?
It is.
That is what I appreciate.
No, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Almost the point that was made there. First, of course, you have deleted that, but before that, the chief was come. Did very well before the last. People have been complaining that it's becoming and will be forum. A lot of people, a lot of staff, officials, can't even assist the political leadership to arrive at their consensus. It's a very big and will do. Sometimes political leadership needs to meet the political leadership to persuade each other outside the formal.
Will arise.
That is the point. Let's move to 10. What one to do with 10? If a member on whose name a question appears, that only member has decided what to do with the question. Is that happy with us? Somebody happy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, boy. Okay, let's move on. Question to me, sir.
Can I just get started?
Yeah, boy.
What are these questions say to members who are only one party members? Because it's easy for the ANC to keep on changing and assisting members. But if it's Godi alone and Godi no presence, No, I'm just asking. It is okay, I knew that. I'm just saying that what does that question imply? Because it's a rule. One thing that you have always said that you don't cut rules on individuals. But one thing that I've mean, observed throughout the years, one party members are beginning to rise. They're becoming the reality. You might not be one party member today. We don't know what will happen after 2015. So, that role will be able to sustain such development or close them out totally, that they can be kicked out because they don't have any representative. Who takes responsibility for you not being present in the house, you see? Is it a speaker or is it another party? Because it, I mean, in our role, it's not that place another party can represent you and take you off the agenda. I just want more clarity.
Yes. As the rule stands, the intention is it doesn't refer to parties. So one member party may talk to a member of another party and say, would you take this, you want to take this question on my behalf? And if not, he gets the rule of law. That's what stands now, and this will change that.
Just a follow on what Mr. Andy said. Remember that the small parties are clustered and they have a work who manages the you know, does the admin. So if he's unavailable, then the work would be okay. Another person. That's my answer.
Thank you.
If I've understood the question of honorable boy, but with the modification of that question, the question will still remain. If on the day a member is not in, when the question on his or her name is on the question page, then what happens? If there's somebody that has been mandated to do that, I know in the NCOP, when a member is not in, and then the minister was bound to respond to that question, and then the question then stands over. But now the question is, in our case, what do we then do? Does the question stands over, or the answer then is handed over as a written reply or what before? So I think that is what I can read the modification of Honorable Boy's question, that even if it's a one or a as long as there is no mandate of another member to take that question during his or her absence, what would then be the situation? Thanks.
No, I think that is a very key question that the Honourable Bashir is raising. Of course, the other one is resolved by the fact that the rule is not factual. So once you have donated the fee, you have to dear the ANC, we treat him as a member of parliament.
Yeah.
And then we invite him to the honorable. However, the challenge is what the honorable machine says. I think that in principle, once things appear on the order paper, they are off the house. So we are in collective ownership of the question once it's on the order paper. Like a motion and all those things. So, and therefore we are all committed to that question being answered. Because then let's say on my way here, I fall in some form of an accident. The rule provides, that's why it's Kenya. So it could even be minutes before it could be that member is no longer around. But I think that the spirit with which we must take the rule is that it means that member will not, if they have not delegated at all, they will not have the precedence of the oral reply. Like, they won't be the first ones to pose the follow-up question. So then the speaker will just move to the next person who has a follow-up question, as it appears from the person or person. Then that's the spirit with which I am standing. But I want that maybe we do want to clarify it in a way. Because it might be when you're no longer here, misinterpreted that because you're not there, then the question doesn't get answered, the question doesn't get followed up. Let's put it clearly. I don't know if Machine is comfortable, but he can bring up the whole house more.
You want to respond?
Well, I just wanted to
the proposal of Mr. Ngozi makes a lot of sense, because in the past, it used to be that when a member was not present in the House when his question came up, that a minister then will not respond to the question and will table it in the House. But I think it was Dr. Jim Waller that later on suggested that the minister provide a reply, and the reply was read out, and other members then took the supplementary questions.
Okay. Okay, well, let's proceed. Question for you.
I'm not sure how I conclude
it.
What is the summary of the revolution on Arab Chapter? In the tradition of the liberation.
my understanding is that the ruler is still there. The point that we should do that, even if the number is not there, the question should be answered. The meeting is anyway, because they don't account to one individual. They account to their house,
to
the collective members of parliament. Therefore, if those is not there, whatever it is, the minister can still answer the question. Because anyway, not only one member that may follow up. Other members of parliament may follow up on such things.
Exactly.
Therefore, we can't deny them their right to make follow up because those is not there in the meeting. I thought that's what we are trying to do, and we have to catch that correctly in our vision.
Okay.
Let's move to 109. Question to ministers. This one is at least. There are rules there. First, the notes from the subcommittee. Of course, this one very general is not applicable. The issue of clusters there, again, is something that I think we are. There's a note there. If it's oral, you are going to work it out with them. If the rules committee think that you must clarify some of the issues there. There's one rule, question oral reply to minister must be dealt with according to the clutter system of government portfolios, as determined by the rules committee. From time to time, after consultation with the leader of government business, then published in the agency. Are we happy with that?
Yes, sir.
Any points that want to make on 109 part 1? Sub 2?
Can we get comfortable with the lynching that is taking place around the chief? Again, here. The clusters, the grouping of clusters, I'm happy with the change in that it does not, because it can help. President Zuma has a radio cabinet, so if it's a three, you might end up not having others to come in the government, so it was limited. I think the rule always anticipated a more, you know, expensive government that needs cabinets and all those things. But there's a problem here that I think we could even say in consultation with the chief meet forum, as opposed to completely doing it away. Because the interrogation of clusters must not be between leader of government business and the rules committee only. And I want to check, maybe I'm misunderstanding, that government defines its cluster. Perhaps what the rule envisages is that parliament can reimagine how it wants to cluster the portfolio. Maybe if you think about the previous rules, it's not on the basis of the third clustering of the cabinet. It's on the basis of how Parliament feels. And that decision, yet again, I would insist, is really a matter of the chief whip's power. It has nothing to do with the rules. It's like, okay, it means they even have a flexibility of clustering. Let's leave them with that decision. It's not a big decision. But this time I'm going to cluster them this way, this time I'm going to cluster them this way, and so on and so forth. Unless you are insisting that, unless our understanding of the clustering is differing. As far as I understand the rule, it's not on the basis of the leader of government, and or such that evokes the self-clustering of the cabinet. It's how government views and wishes to cluster for the convenience of its own management of accountability. Samedi.
No, no, I was going to guys go to all. I'm going to go to all. On the matter of things, you know the speech forum is very important. In this situation, even if you want to undermine it, or you want to ignore it, you want to function. You see, during difficult times of parliament, all the structures are functioning, because that's only where political members reach out to each other and discuss the hard parts of with the political life of the parliament. Who just speak at heart? You see, that's why it is said in the rules, 2-1, that who's the speaker may consult when appropriate. You see, because it deals with more political issues. You see, when we have disagreements, when you say that the president, you think that should be answering you. Okay, it's very clear. It goes there, you see, so that's how you will get convinced and be convinced that the aim is not undermining color, you see. So when you transfer a point of more of administration now, it's not really an administrative problem of how you want to make sure the rules committee finds life, etc., the agenda. But the political problems in this parliament are resolved by the chief of staff. And I would always be concerned that one would choose it to become an administrator of parliament, you see. But even the things that she knows from her, all of them, that it's important to go to the chief whip of different parties and talk to them and his political consensus at that level. So how you must see the chief forum. The most important for us, leave alone the humiliation and joke and things like that. But when there's a problem in this institution, the only forum that can deal with those is the chief forum. That's why there's difficulty to how you place it. But you see, I'll tell you, you place it against the speaker, it then becomes more of an authority. And you can't do that, you see, because it's more of a political structure that must assist the speaker to resolve the internal matters. And that's how I understand it. This is a very important question. But some of the issues that are more of day-to-day mundane issues that they like deal with the rules, because if you come with a vote of no confidence, it has to be resolved there in the chief's forum. That how do we handle this matter together? And what do we want to achieve out of it? But if it's like how we put it on the agenda, leave it to the rules committee, you see. Even I agree with you in the way you look at clusters, the parliament must look at clusters. It's only when there's a real disaster problem between how we manage those questions in relation to clusters. Then you must be concerned. And when parties are objecting very strongly, the chief forum must sit down and be able to reach a consensus with, I mean, other chief groups who are leading the parties inside the institution. But for them to be turned into administrators, is a concern that will always have with the party, that we should not tell you at an important price, but don't become abusers. Let the rules committee do its work, let these other officials do their work, but let the party be able to make political decisions that are going to benefit the country, and benefit overall the run of parliament in
Montreal.
Michael?
So, I just want to say, it would probably do no harm if we simply say, determined by the rules committee after consultation with the chief of forum and the leader of our own business, and that would give them that opportunity to play that
particular
role.
Mm. Yes. Well, that's my... In fact, the rules committee generally composed of shifts, pretty stupid. And I thought that by the mere fact that a part of the senior committee of parliament is influenced the decision that I taken by passing. That's why if you prepare, there will be no rules committee anywhere I know in South Africa, where the youth groups of the parties are not treating them. And we can still accommodate it. I think there's no harm after consultation with the youth groups forum and the leader of our business. But they sit there, and then after consultation with themselves, because they sit there, you know. That's what I thought when we're saying that they would remove the youth groups, but not the decision making of action. You want them to play a political management role in parliament. And the rules committee is not playing that role. Mm-hmm. That role is played by the chief of forum and allow them to deal with critical issues then. And then they will come then influence, because they sit in the rules committee. Mm-hmm. They will be part of decision making. So I thought that was the main reason why. And then when we thought that the real decision making structure, the main senior committee in parliament at the moment, is the rules committee. Because some of the committee general by law, and if they are counting to the rules committee, but they are not the standard procedure. And I thought that there should be no harm to say after consultation with the leader of current business and the chief rules forum. There will be no damage to say that, I guess.
So,
yes.
No, no,
shouldn't take much to that that we will follow because there's a habit.
So, Chair, the minute you bring in, after consultation with the team, that you bring in a leg of a process, then you are influencing the process and making an impact on it. In other words, that if there is a matter that the Rules Committee must take a decision, which is inclusive of the recent chief himself you are indicating, unless the chief himself has not met and has not been consulted, then the Rules Committee can't do anything. The minute you put it after consultation with the chief report. So I want to really say that as you have correctly put it, that you are actually indicating that after consultation with the press, which does make sense that they can make the necessary input while they are
in the Rules Committee.
That's structural. The chief Rules for. That cater for in terms of parliamentary process. There will be absolutely no harm for us to play a proper consultation with them. But there are very specific people, not areas, not in every matter that the Rules Committee must take a decision. I think we've decided this area only. That I think we can find a better way to have your accommodation imposed, but also your accommodation that you don't have an easy way of consultation. But in my view, general, that there will be no need to do so because they see the Rules Committee themselves. What decision that I came by Rules Committee by night anyway. They are also court leave to and by the Chief Rules Forum. But we said that Chief Rules Forum must give full candidate in the issue to allow for that. Because you want to see that?
No. Look, I think the discussion has definitely been helpful to me. I don't care if my experimentation with me is correct. It's not even an experimentation, it's that I read the purpose of the rule is not really cabinet to dictate to us the draft plan. It's for us to say this is how we're going to deal with the draft of the minister. So I therefore think we must keep it as it is. Like even leader of graphic business is not really important. Like let's make a bold rule. The Rules Committee, which is inclusive of all chief whips and all those things, doesn't have to go anywhere else, will decide on the cluster which it will be. Take out the leader of government business. And because it's really about ministers are supposed to be here anyway. So you say, look, these following ministries will be answering questions from this particular day in the best wisdom that the Rules Committee can.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see any harm.
Anyway, though generally consultation will always happen informally, and there will be no problem on that. I think that's
No, I was going to say the proof, of course, that's not the issue. What is important in that relationship is how you maintain this different arms. You see, the emphasis of facilitating parliamentaries and then independence is very much important.
Sure.
It goes with the spirit of the constitution that this is what you have come to a decision. And if you put it in that type of way, it's a senior level in parliament, and by the rules. How the speaker afterwards made a decision, go ahead, and how the chief will discuss it, it's such a the most important part is that parliament has made its decision and then put on the practice that needs to be
done. But does that find it up? First of all, when we do basis,
Sorry, Jay, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to come in under the next...
Is your new proposal?
Did you first just want to give everybody...
No, I think that's what I'm saying, that the class has rotated on a weekly basis, so that's subject to whatever. And is there any point on this one? Class has rotated, of course, on that issue, the problem controls.
Yeah, according to the program. You know you want to sell power and open
the
system.
See, the programming cluster. There's
five clusters. I'm
looking at the program. Yeah. And there's five. Now, here I'm talking of three
clusters. Rotating. Huh? The clusters rotate on a weekly basis.
The rule has been changed by the decision of the House. It was in the 80s.
That the ANC has inserted here and saying that a minister may authorize the use or her deputy or another cabinet member to reply to a question directed at that particular minister, so that another minister acts on the minister's behalf. Now, there is a note at the bottom of that, and that is why I was under the impression that we should probably actually deal with sub 3 first, to say that if a minister is absent, and then they ask to deal with that recommendation. So that if the minister is absent, obviously then another minister can act. But even if a minister isn't in the house, that's how I read it. Unfortunately, Chairperson, I was not at this particular discussion, so I'm in a little bit of the details, but I'm sure my work will support me here. If we can then just discuss how we insert this, I think the essence of it is to make provision, say for instance, as it happens in some of the ministries, they delegate a specific function to a deputy minister, and that deputy minister is actually, can I say, more practically involved in a specific element of the portfolio. It could be that a minister in the House could feel that it would be better if a deputy minister would respond to a question, because that matter was delegated to the deputy minister by the minister. So that is what that makes provision for. It is unlikely where the minister is absent. So there is a difference. It is, as you can see there is a between brackets it says, it is only to apply the relevant minister is to be absent, but there is already provision for that under sub 3.
Okay. Perhaps I could just, in connection with what Mr. Gillian said, the issue is here that the minister has the prerogative to allow his or her deputy to answer a question on the question. Or is it obligatory for that minister, if the minister is available, and then the House to answer? Okay. Or may the minister say, I would like the deputy minister to answer this question, and leave it to the deputy minister to reply, even though the minister is present?
Otherwise, you will give us more guard.
No, see, in his normal machinist in the House, Honorable Joseph said, deputy minister, you've got no responsibility. So that affected the system. Might thought that you were joking, but generally, deputy ministers now are given certain responsibilities. And that is the equipment that is implemented in the emergency. So we thought it's very much important that if the minister isn't around, that his deputy takes responsibility in answering questions. That's why we go. So that also within the spin of saying that, well, it's one thing that you can't grow also. The constitution allows them to be appointed, that they should have deputies, and they should have responsibilities. And if they've been given responsibility, it's in our interest in the service, as the society, to give them an opportunity to answer questions within the House. And that's what is happening within that presentation, you see. That let's give the deputy minister, if the minister is not around, or she is here, then approach the speaker and or through the leader of government, say, I'm not going to be around and my deputy, the one that takes responsibility to the questions, that be allowed. So that it doesn't seem as if we appoint you, you must understand appointing that in the fiscal, it seems as if you've got no responsibility. You are earning a salary with no, and you're not seen as affected. The image of what you're doing is
just. It's me now.
No, sir. You can do as much as you like.
Look, I'm not convinced.
Chairperson, is
there
a market?
No.
Yes.
No, you can look
for it. This market?
No.
Actually, I'm very good at knowing who the chairperson is. I've had great potential, Chairperson.
There's only one chapter in the Quran. Please, Mashiach.
So, Mashiach, is it all right to do if I continue?
No, you can continue.
Thank you. I hear what Honorable Boy is saying, and as you know, I agree with him on many, many things.
Yes.
But this is my concern about the deputy ministers. They are actually not members of cabinet. So they don't sit in on the cabinet meeting. And too often, we get half-answered questions, because it's not the deputy minister's fault, but the deputy minister hasn't been subject to the actual cabinet discussion. And we were basically saying, in that case, then the DG could be called into answer. Okay, fair enough, the DG is not a member of parliament.
Yes.
But the DG probably knows more about what's going on sometimes than the deputy minister. All the ministers sometimes. But that's the problem. Is because they're not involved in cabinet, they won't know the intrinsic details that the minister will be. And that's the only concern. I understand that a minister might be overseas or might be ill, but my concern remains that the deputy ministers are not members of cabinet, and that's not holding cabinet to account.
No,
actually,
what catch up that here? Deputy minister, they'll be strong. They should be strong. They're not cabinet. I mean, it's not about them. It's about the system and how the system wishes to integrate each part. So, if the minister is around and there's a question, a concern around the ministry, the deputy minister must shut it down. And even go in the house there and whisper to the minister if that's the case. But we need to keep, you know, earlier on you kept telling me about the political, that these sessions are about the political interaction between members of parliament and cabinet. And for as long as they do not constitute part of the political conversations, and those political conversations are in a forum, they don't need to. There is an exigent matter, I'm very gracious. So I'm proposing that we sustain, we don't integrate this honorable member. It's not necessary at all. If the minister is around, the deputy minister must be an ordinary member of parliament. And then if the deputy minister, if the minister is not around, then they can speak and all those things on the basis, of course, that we understand that they are deputies. But for as long as the minister is around, it must not be allowed that they delegate the responsibility to be held accountable. So Parliament is a senior structure. It must always be understood on those terms. It's a very, very senior. That's why when we said, we pose questions to the president, not to the president, because there is a minister in the presidency. If we started considering those two offices, we're going to keep a serious crisis of accountability. So people must take responsibility knowing that they must always be on their toes. They can't say, hey, you must assist me, like that. The Minister of Justice is very famous for that particular behavior. If it works out to allow the Deputy Minister to speak, it's not right. It's not correct, and it gives a bad political image of Parliament and the Cabinet. Thank you.
Yeah, as I said, I think we are really very impatient on certain issues that all of us, we are very clear why they are happening. In the first instance, as I said, we call them deputy ministers. And then what do we mean by calling them deputy ministers? They will decide that they deputize the ministers on some executive functions that they have to do. Hence, sometimes they are able to descend to particular areas, let me go and execute functions that the minister has to execute. And then nobody questions them when they arrive as deputy ministers on behalf of the minister. And like earlier, we have talked about the Malam Les, then the Minister of Cooperative Governance, the same deputy minister to go there. And you know, if a question that arises, when the deputy minister is from there, then it has been 3 days or so that the minister has not yet got a full briefing on that, and is confident that the deputy minister is well informed of that particular incident and how it has unfolded. What is wrong is the minister and then delegate the deputy minister to actually give the House a quality response on the question raised. It should be in the spirit of really getting quality responses in the House rather than to get a report and a response that makes some sort of pressure because of some other reason that may arise. And therefore it says that for us really to reduce deputy ministers to non-entity, I'm saying it is petty, because all of us, we know that they are appointed to deputize the ministers in terms of the constitution. They are not giving themselves. They have not been sent by parliament in there. They have been appointed accordingly into an executive function to assist the deputize the ministers in executing executive functions. And therefore, we really can't reduce them to nothing. As if we are not aware of the functions that they are supposed to do. And really when they are in the House and the minister, even if the minister is in the House, if he's confident that the minister is better placed within giving the correct and the quality response, then it should be possible to do that as a deputy minister. Unless otherwise we are not in the series of
in the house. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that, you see, it's always important to inform ourselves. Because it's not fair. We are all working on assumptions of what deputy ministers are doing. But also, we would like to emphasize the question of accountability. And we are saying that the Commissioner Congress that keep these deputy ministers accountable. Why would we receive your accountability by saying it could only be about a minister, not a particular minister? But Parliament is its own duty and obligation to make sure that anyone who gets something out of the fiscus is being put to responsibility. And this deputy minister, from where we are, said that they are doing something. We might not be fooled, because sometimes you meet some of them, they start telling you, for the class I'm meeting, I must go there and represent my minister. But that is information that is limited to Parliament, of what the deputy minister do that could assist all of us to be able to hold them in account. So I would rather say that Parliament in the rules accept the fact that in principle let's agree that the deputy minister will answer, but let them forward practically to the leader of government. What are they doing? Where their responsibility was? We're not going to ask the question of where, what happened with the particular incident, like yesterday, the march on land. Now you are going to say, let's get the deputy minister to answer on what happened with the land issues. That is not the issue. What we need to know that, what exactly is it? For one of the concerns that Honorable Rose is raising is that, I mean, they don't know specifically what happens in cabinet. We can't guarantee that issue. You are right, in terms of constitution, they are not there. But how much in the action takes place between the judge and his minister? It's not what all of us can write out of. They say it can be, that they don't talk to each other, and they just walk away from each other. For us, the principle is that, how do you hold the deputy minister to account? Rather than letting, if it's wrong, let the constitution be adhered to them, to say that it's wrong with the deputy minister. I mean, you are able to hold the deputy president accountable. The number of responsibilities that he has been provided and that has been able to announce. So in our interest as Parliament, that how do we make sure that deputy ministers, it should not be spontaneous, that's the only thing that I would agree. It can be spontaneous. You come in the House, there's a question for the minister, and then she says, my deputy will have. That will just disrupt the system. Let's find a way of saying that at which stage do we ask? If a question is posed to the minister and she thinks that the relevant person is the deputy minister, she must forward that and make even the member of parliament aware that the person who will be answering himself will be the deputy minister because he's got knowledge about what is happening. If that, in the system, we can prepare for that, that would be better. But then rather than having people pay for the discuss and be ignored.
Okay.
Mr.
what do you want us to do?
We are closing it now.
No,
we said you know that we are not taking the responsibility of ministers to answer questions. They will delegate it to deputy ministers, whether they are there or not there is an issue really. But the overall issue that remains the ministers.
No, Chatterjee, we I don't, if I've listened to both submissions, your final input is inconsistent. If then the attitude of the MP has changed, but yeah. I'll read you as the Chatterjee.
That is in a different point.
No problem. Except you're about to vote here, you're about to try. Now, look, I think that we're solving a problem that is not there, really. If the minister is not around, deputy minister can speak. We're not in disagreement about that one. What we're disagreeing with is a situation where in the presence of the minister, a deputy minister is delegated to answer comments. Because these questions are put to ministers in advance. It gives them an opportunity to sit down with the deputy minister, if the deputy minister, Honorable Mashile, is the one that was sent to Malande. The minister must then say, Parliament is asking this, what happened? And then they are able to be up and so on and so forth, and then we deal with it in Parliament. What at least ourselves are not in agreement with and we want, is that all the time Parliament must get responses from political principles. From political principles. Obviously we are aware and we've never raised the problem that if they're not there, then the question can be answered. Of course we want it to be answered. But the quality of the answer, the minister must make the effort to know. That is what we're saying. And I think we can meet up there, that we're not disagreeing. It's questions to ministers in a situation where the minister is not around. They can delegate to the deputy or delegate to another minister. That's fine. But as long as they're in the house, we don't listen to anyone else. They must stand and speak on the questions that we put to them prior and so on and so forth. And we're fine. Maybe when we come tomorrow, the proposal of the questions without notice, we may then make a provision of how do we deal with that particular eventuality. Otherwise, in this rule, there's much consideration on our machine. I know you might want to be a deputy minister one day, or the deputy minister has expressed you that Parliament has become a spotlight and they also would like to have an input. The reality is that they are not cabinet ministers, one political principal, and if they are not, they can get a spotlight to address us. Yeah.
Yes,
we'll
I thought that we almost agree, yes, that with the proposal put forward, the view is that when a minister is not there, he can delegate the other minister or a minister. Yes. But when a minister is there, also don't want to be a long discussion about this thing. What happens if the deputy minister is there, if the minister is there, if the minister is to stand up, if he's not mandated, yes. We discuss about the civility of this.
No.
And then I think we should agree on the issue. If the minister is not there, he can instruct the deputy minister to answer the question or another minister.
No.
And I think that will be covered.
It's covered. No, it's fine. The MRC. Yeah.
Just to relate the matter, it's a question of another minister answering.
The other minister is requested to answer if you require a question.
Yeah, there have been problems in the past that that other minister was unable to take supplementaries,
yeah,
because the minister had the written answer and could read that out in the House, but was not free to answer supplementaries. And in cases like that, that's with the presiding officer in the spot,
yeah,
and the presiding officer has normally said in that case the question was stand over. But that's something I don't think to deal with in the rules. The rule does provide now that the minister may stand in for another minister, and one has to look at that particular issue.
My experience in the other house is that definitely if the minister was present and has to ask another minister to answer, it's known as a practice that there would not be follow-up questions if not the specific minister. Then that is simply give them, you know, the answer. After that, then proceed to the next question. So that's how I know it from the other house. And then, but being specific for honoring the question at the question time and giving the answer to the public. That's my experience.
I don't want to cross swords with the chairperson of powers and privileges, but I think if we really look at the constitutional provisions, the National Assembly, one of its three key functions is to keep the executive accountable. Now, if you look at the functions and the powers of the NCOC, that is not exactly the same. It's not a carbon copy. So you could understand that in the case of the NCOC, they could simply forfeit the supplementary questions. But I would like to argue that it is going to actually make a very significant impact on the ability of the National Assembly to hold the executive accountable in the case of another minister taking questions, we simply just forfeit the supplementary. I don't think it would be in the interest of accountability. I would like to argue that if another minister is given the responsibility, that minister will have to respond also to supplementary questions, and we can't make a separate set of rules of when it is another minister acting on behalf of the minister responsible. Otherwise, the minister could have an arrangement with the speaker's office to say, can we please defer this question to another question session. But I don't think we should actually make provision for a case where another minister answers on behalf of the minister. And in the process, we actually erode the constitutional accountability that we really have the responsibility.
No, I thought I had a duty as a comment. It's a very simple straightforward that we maintain what's written in the constitution. We maintain the federal parliament is a high body, and we are getting accountability from ministers. And the minister must prepare the next minister. It's quite clear that the government that you can't disorganize parliament. You must go to the speaker and let the speaker and then you must assist the second person to answer the question. It can be spontaneous. If it's your deputy, you must be ready, concise, and know what is going to say inside the house. There's no way we can, because you are talking to the public. You're not just talking to us as members of parliament. And you are giving dignity to the house that you are representing all of us. And there's no other expectation that any member of the house can be treated differently from the other one. So we are very firm on those matters. And we must be firm. There's nothing wrong. But I just say that if she's delegating in her absence to another minister, let him pull, even for a follow-up question, must be ready. There's no other way you're going to stand up there and say, I don't know how many fishes are in the sea, if you have to know them. But when you take the responsibility, take that responsibility to the other. So the person who pays in the fiscal is the public. What is it the public going to say that they're saying to them, you don't know what is it? I mean, that will be embarrassing to all of us to find out the need that you can answer questions and say, I'm reading this because I've been given this. I then go and think, or we'll have to wait for the follow-up process. It's just not possible. We need to be quite clear here that the National Assembly is where every member of society has an expectation. And we have been saying to ourselves that there's a right to the rules. We are here to make sure that we keep and we are able to live and we maintain the integrity of Parliament. To have prepared ministers in front of the public would mean the disaster that we don't know and we can assist with providing leadership to the issues that are related to our own country. We can't think twice about it, Honourable Mashiri. It's a simple, straightforward answer. We have to do what the Constitution commands of us and to keep ministers accountable to be accountable.
Look, I think Jordan and Sam did the last one on this. I think we agree that on the minister's job.
Yes, ma'am.
We also agree that if the minister is not there, he can delegate his or her decisions. Or, I mean, if they are dedicated to do so, they must also deal with a lot of questions.
Yes.
That's the point this minister made. Yes, ma'am.
I think we must have two conditions. One, we must put the right competency there, deal with follow-up questions. That is, you don't delegate just because you are not there. You delegate to another ministry who will competently deal with the question and the follow-up question. That is number one. But now, you see, the problem is if there's no competency. We can deal with that. Maybe both the ministry happens. The minister and the deputy minister are not present in the house. No other cabinet member can competently deal with the question. But the question is on the question paper. They knew days before that they were not going to be there, all of them, and there's no recall. So it took many times to say, someone can't allow a situation like that. Surely it must be... But you must emphasize that the spirit really is, it is, the honor is on the minister to make sure that the question, either in the form of a deputy minister or in the form of another cabinet member, when it is on the order paper, it is completely dealt with. There must not be questions that just fall apart. Then we're wasting time. Because I'm worried because we've been debating the question of time earlier on. It means the question falls off, and then, you know, we have prioritized those questions precisely because it's a question of time. And then the other party that was supposed to have gotten that question, their opportunity falls off. So the minister must, there must be a way of communication that we can come, we can give that question. So that if that member whose question has been prioritized can get an opportunity to prioritize another question. That's the second part of it. So we must act competently, but I think that what must be emphasized when we go back to the rules, that the spirit broadly is, minister must not waste our time. No, I think, you know, it's a very critical one. Because we go through the process, we prioritize questions, but no one's there to answer them. And that person whose question is there may have more questions, but that one not that it's false. It's a waste. It's a waste of parliament time and it's not the right. So, I think that's the thing that must emphasize, the spirit of this group, is to even make an accommodation, or they try to make sure that another cabinet member of the deputy competently deals with the question, including the oral reply. Thank you.
I just wanted to add, perhaps, that the minister who's going to be absent should appoint a minister in that cluster. It makes sense because their study groups and the paper, white papers and all that are discussed in that cluster. So maybe that would be a way out of.
No, let us know this one.
Thank you.
I just think that we let us leave it open. When a minister is not there, you can delegate his responsibility, not his responsibility, which is anyway. You can delegate it. Delegate some authority to the deputy minister or the minister. Those members delegated that authority will answer the question. And I think that's what we are doing on the control phase correctly. And ensure therefore. I think we must not limit it to a cluster because there will be a minister in another cluster who sits in the cabinet who may be well informed. There is a minister in the cluster. I think it should open it for a minister to decide who he is comfortable with to answer the question. I think we should leave there. And the minister, when the minister is there, of course the deputy minister is looking after the question. So it can also call the race problem. The minister is there, the minister stands up there, wants to answer the question. They end up, you can call that havoc, you know. It's far better than the delegated authority to move on. And then we should do it that way. Okay, police. Let us move now.
I'm not, just a big one, just a big one. I actually think that I want to elevate this problem. That we must actually put further thoughts on top. If there won't be any a competent person, we need a way of resolving it. So that the question doesn't fall off and the opportunity and everything, because that's what happens at the moment. Let's just flag it. I'm not saying we must say immediately resolve it now, but let's flag it because it has happened many, many times. Almost in every session of questions, that means that the deputy minister wants to take. And no one can do that, it just falls off like that. And we need a process for talk to say, we have clearly seen what happened.
If I could just point out in sub 3, sub 1 and 9, it says if the minister is not available and there's no other minister or deputy minister who has been authorized, then at the request of the member in whose name the question stands, the question will be placed on the question paper for the next session, presentation, upturn, to be dealt with immediately the following week. So that's just an attempt to
cover the contract.
No.
We've been delivering on this particular measure for quite a long time. But one thing, Chair, is that you can't make a guarantee that the minister and the deputy minister at all times one of them will be on the question list, and or another minister will be competent to answer, especially when you talk to matters that say it talks to defense or to intelligence, whatever, that any other minister that can be called upon to actually respond and even take follow-up questions on those. So I think this provision here is that if there is no one delegated, the question will stand in the next question, resolve some of the matters.
My question is well put for that reason.
Yes.
And then
put on the mic.
I agree on that.
Yes.
Minister is not there, he delegates. Even a deputy minister is not automatic. He's not automatic.
Yes.
Not delegate. He makes decide that deputy minister, please do this work for me, I'm not around.
Yes.
Or minister rest, do this work, I'm not around. But the point that I emphasize is that once a minister is given that responsibility, he should take that responsibility to the end. He could also answer follow up questions. Then that's the point that we are making there.
Yes.
And the point then that if all of the minister is not there, never delegated any responsibility to anyone,
yes,
the question ends, and the next question day, the question becomes the fact on the question of the question. I think that's what I want to ask.
Gentlemen, the technicality that I'm giving you to the discussion about the paper is that it is in real time. So when that question moves the next day, it means there's a space. So,
there's a space that is not too far.
Yeah, so the next prioritized question must come in. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about a situation where we've allocated 2 hours with the idea that these ministers will be answering. None of them are in parliament, of course, that question moves over. But because we prioritized, it must be automatic that the next prioritized question, which could have not been thought of going to be dealt with on that day, must be dealt with. That is my technical, you can tell me if it's covered. It doesn't seem to me that it's covered in the problem.
The next prioritized question by the same party, or the next prioritized question on the question paper?
By the same party, it's allocated to the same party.
I thought that we agreed that if the question is not answered, it falls to the next day. Next question time.
Yes.
In that next question time, that question will be prioritized.
That's
no, but the point that I'm saying is that he can't advance, there will be no usefulness. Why was it there? If the minister is not there, the deputy minister is not there, the minister never dedicated anyone. So you can't punish a member of parliament for that. The question must be answered because no one is related to do anything. At the next question time, that question should be talked on the question.
Because
that's the point that we should do, because that is
no, I think it's a question. What we are saying is the quality also. That's why all ministers must be prepared. There's no other way. Yeah, there's nothing else. Because it is said that if you are not going to be present, you inform the leader of government. And the leader of government informs the speaker. And then, ordinarily, the house is run by the speaker. And the speaker must prepare for your absence and give an explanation to the party and the member of why you're not there. These things are not doing them for ourselves. They're also doing for the party. If Parliament can manage its own terms and manage the fact that ministers must be accountable, what will the public think about whoever sits in the house? So for me, the broader question is that how we resolve it and how we make sure that there is quality of participation and make sure that ministers are in the house. It's one thing that we have been told all the time that you want to govern, you don't govern easily. You must make sure that everybody that's supposed to answer questions has a ruling party, make sure that they're in the house and answer questions to the broad public. And there's no way, two way or about it. The rules must be very explicit and clear about it and capture that. That people who have got responsibilities in terms of the constitution must be in the house and answer questions in a qualitative manner. That is make everybody happy.
Of course, then, I think we have accepted it now.
Yeah.
We will capture it correctly.
The purpose of the ANC is then that you are taking rid of the deputy minister. Because the deputy minister now, they are saying, can't really. The minister is there and say, under the question, it wouldn't happen.
That's
and then I think that don't happen. And then I think the ANC proposal then follows. Okay. Okay, for the first process. Natasha, what do you want us to do now?
I'm calling them to order.
109
or
124?
No, we are not. 5?
None. 6?
None.
Not.
5? Yeah.
Okay.
So, check. I don't know if it's president. Actually, if we look at the notes, the current proposal in captured in 110 is one approach that was adopted by the task team before, and then there's also another note concerning questions to the presidency, which is the second option. Now, I was actually just going through the constitution again, and I was wondering if we look at the approach to the question to the president, and I just wanted to start with sub-rule one there. It must be scheduled separately by the program committee in consultation with the Leader of Government Business for question day once per month during session time. Now, remember, we have agreed that it should be once a month, not twice a month, and that there should then be a longer period for questions to the minister. Deputy president, yes. That's correct. Now, I was looking at the constitution again. And I was wondering, if we look at accountability and responsibility, section 92 of the constitution, it says that deputy president and ministers are responsible for the powers and functions of the executive assigned to them by the president. Now, we've captured a very important general approach in 1A. It's sort of two-thirds down. It's questions to the deputy president must be limited to matters of national and international importance. But I am aware that there are specific functions that are also assigned. Now, if we look at the constitution, and particularly in section 92.1, it says the deputy president and ministers are responsible for the powers and functions of the executive assigned to them by the president. Is it correct for us to have general phrase to say it must be limited to matters of national and international importance? Should it not then be? And I'm just saying this to provoke a discussion about it, because I think we must be very clear in our approach. Before I come to the ANC proposal and note, and may I just say that I did not specifically draft that. I would like to present it to you, but I just thought it is just first talk about the approach. Do we see it as a presidency, or do we see it as the president assigning functions to the deputy president? Because if you look at the composition of the cabinet, again, cabinet consists of the president as head of the cabinet, as deputy president, and minister. The president must select the deputy president from among the members of the National Assembly. So the president selects the deputy president and assigns the function. Now, I'm just saying, I know we were running quite extensively on this matter before, that we were feeling it's important to hold the deputy president accountable for the president as such. But if the constitution differentiates between the role of the president and the deputy president, which must be held accountable for those functions assigned to him or her,
should we not then just fine comb this section again?
I want us to go 1-1-0-1.
Okay.
We'll come to a general discussion. I guess that the constitution is very important. But I thought that the owners will raise it all along on that. The president, first we had a view that the president, and then we had another view that says that the chief president is the president through the house, assigned to him as the president. Therefore, he's assisting the president. He's almost like 50 ministers that we're discussing right now. That if you doesn't can ask the person if the president is there. But the point is that I think now, because the constitution was brought to our attention, I think the constitution now finds, I think they thought that we are raising a conversation truly. And that the view that was expressed, that you will separate the two. The president answers as the head of state, and the president answers firstly, much of the national importance, in any other function dedicated to him by the service. Because sometimes the shepherd is not planned what is planned. HIV and AIDS, he's now responsible for energy. There are a lot of other things that are given to him. Now, the person. The dilemma that the minister is responsible for those frontline functions. How do we give it that now? Because of the energy, he must really work it out. But there was a point that we are not compared especially to president. Because it's not one in the sense. There's one head of state who has appointed the ministers and also appointed the deputy president to assist. Then I think that one was taken view on that. You know. Let us go to 1.10.1. What do you want to say there? Natasha?
Thank you.
Chief,
first, I'm very happy to see the deputy president having his own mission. Because I don't think that the deputy president should have a question time with other council ministers. Because he is the leader of government business. And if we're talking about issues of national importance, let's look at what he has been put in charge of and how important those are. For example, ECOS. These are matters of extreme national importance. Chair, what does worry me though is when we say exceeding any money which questions to the president's schedule. Now, I think the Rules Committee, one of the reasons we're sitting here is to create a legacy document, not only for the government and the parliament that is sitting now, but for parliament going forward. And I think one of the biggest bones of contention, which caused the biggest uptake in this particular fifth parliament, is questions to the president. Now, Chairman, certainly we should be looking at a way in which we make our parliament more robust and exceptionally accountable. And perhaps be looking, and I'm really in section 1 because it says in a month where the president, where president's questions are scheduled. Your average term in parliament is about 3 months. That's what kind of thing you're looking at. Shouldn't we be looking at increasing the amount of question time to the president and the amount of question time to the deputy president? And it needs to be. We can actually combine, maybe do 1.5 hours questions to the deputy president, 1.5 hours to the president. Something like that, but just to ensure that the president and the deputy president, the leader of government business, accounts to parliament on a more regular basis. So in other words, look at, it's maybe not plausible, but there's no harm in suggesting. Look at the president coming to answer questions once a month in parliament, and the deputy president coming to answer questions once a month in parliament. And that way we know exactly what's going on with the Bureau of Government Business, and we also know what's going on with the head of state.
This is the rule, Honorable Chair, says that
okay.
Yeah, 110 subsection 1. That's where we are. If I'm at the control level. So the area one says, questions to the president must be scheduled for a question day once every 2 weeks. Ever since. That's an article. This one is problematic. because it says we must schedule that in consultation with the leader of the community. And if he's the leader of the we don't need the youth community to ask him questions. He must just come. Well, like this is really problematic. He's the only person who said, like, we must have questions in consultation with him. No, we don't need to consult. We have a constitutional obligation to ask him questions and not answer. Everything here is that we must. I don't know, Chief, what the objective was here. But it loses. It's making us appear that language. And therefore, I would really strongly propose that we take out consultation. We don't need consultation. We are doing a constitutional obligation, duty. And that is to ask, this people present was always there in the room, so it's not new. So that is my comment with regards to 110 subsection 1. And I would propose, really, Honorable Shepherd, that it stays as it was. Gives us the problems. Why? Because in any way, these things are subjected to shifting. If you become too prescriptive like this, it's not helpful. Obviously, the programming committee and the rules committee, let's give them and allow them in their best wisdom to make sure that the deputy president must be scheduled for a question day once every second week. Let's give them that wisdom to go and send that. As far as I'm concerned, it's been working fairly well. We're creating a problem when there is no problem. Unless we can then be told by yourself that no, this was I want to hear that motivation before, but as it is, we're creating a problem that is not there. I'm happy with the rule as it appears.
Chairperson, I just wanted to talk to one thing that the deputy president at the moment is the leader of government business. But one cannot say that is supposed to be so continuously anything like that, continuously. Because in my stay here in Paris, I have seen a situation where one cabinet minister was the leader of government business, other than the deputy president. And therefore the rule should not be made for a particular situation that we have seen. It must be made to stand under all situations that may arise. At the moment is that the manner in which has been crafted, of course, then it just happens that it's one person. But there is a possibility that as we move forward, it may not be one person. The deputy president and the leader of government. Therefore, the manner in which has been crafted, we should stand the test of time rather than to really make a rule for the current deputy president being the leader of government. Thanks.
Chairperson, that explains the proposal by the ANC, which does not refer specifically to the program committee in consultation with the leader of government business, but it refers to the scheduling body, 24A.
It covers those.
Well, yes, to a certain extent. The point is that there is a body, and I concur with Honourable Mashile that the whole issue is, according to the Constitution, the President can appoint any person as leader of government business, any member of the Cabinet as leader of government business, but the point is that there is a scheduling mechanism. And that is the program committee that is dealing with matters of scheduling in consultation with the leader of government business, etc. So in the reference to in accordance with Rule 24A covers that issue. It's less clumsy. It essentially says that there's a program committee, and the program committee has a specific way of dealing with matters, you know, the chief whip in consultation with it. So I think we can then formally tables the reference to schedule Rule 34A instead of by the program committee in consultation with the leader of government business, because that's the phrasing is really clumsy. So that is just the one issue. Other concern that we have is If we are, by the way, if we are dealing with one-two-question session of the deputy president, it is essentially then, it's not going to add more questioning time. It is going to have a more exclusive session, if we could put it like that. But it also releases more time, on the other hand, for questions to ministers. So I think the proposal as the technical team before made was one session per month during the session time. I think that should stick to that. The only other matter is, obviously, there is a concern that it might be lie-hague, but probably that is also a scheduling matter. You don't need to put it into the rules. To write in that it might not coincide with his appearances in the HLP, etc. So then it becomes a purely sort of a scheduling matter.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Now, I think Nami wanted to make a point. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I thought that's on this one. The ANC one is assisting us to deal, getting, so I think that the listing there, the leader of government business. And then the no consultation, the leader of government business. The proclaiming committee meets, decides that this month, the deputy president will appear before the assembly to answer questions. And then we're going to save the time now. Even the question has been increased, but we are still going to come, I think we are dealing with it.
Yeah.
And therefore, the deputy president comes there. He's not included when minister answers. He puts, there's no time for you.
Sure.
You want enough time on that. And then I think that covers the point that those who are raising. Once a month, the deputy president comes in, answers the question. We enjoy ourselves with the question, and we close the matter.
Mm.
And then it's once a month. But what we really start checking this for the city. Even if president, it comes once a month in parliament in real terms.
In an hour?
Yeah. Once a month for 1 hour.
If
you
have 1 hour and then second
week,
another hour, it's 2 hours in a month.
But by the point that you are saying that once a month, the president comes for 3 hours, answering questions, six questions instead of four.
Yeah.
They increase the number of questions to six. It's once a month, 3 hours. That is actually no other business.
Separate from the
minister. Because at the moment it's not Muslim, and it's following the minister there. You want the president to answer all the questions. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll tell you there more.
Can we get some clarity on this issue? So the deputy president will come once a month. He will have his own question for 3 hours. But then we still change it, because it says on the month the president comes, then the deputy president won't answer on the week. So we must make sure that they don't clash, because then we're going to land up losing one or the other. So we must just make sure that somewhere in the rules that it's very clear that they never clash on the same week, otherwise we'll lose out in one of the question sessions.
No, I think the Parliament Committee will know. The president comes in May, surely the president can't come in May. The president's month, the first issue of the president, in June the president comes, 3 hours, to six questions, that is the case.
That's my problem. So, are we saying that, okay, now we're going to May. So, if the president comes in May, does that mean the deputy president won't come? Because I have a problem with that. I don't buy it. The deputy president must come every month. And if he comes, say for example, the deputy president comes this month, a Wednesday is the 6th of May. If the president answers questions on the 6th of May, then the following week, which is the 13th of May, then the deputy president must answer. But what I don't want to happen is in losing a deputy president's question because the president is answering in the month. Then we must just have, there must be alternative weeks, but I don't want to see a deputy president missing a month. We still want the deputy president to answer questions every month, even if it's a month that the president comes.
Well, firstly, Honorable Chairperson, why is the different management, as you indicated, we need to feel this in our soul of souls. Why is it because it has done away with the word consultation? The constitutional obligation that the deputy president, the president, and the minister come and ask. They're not doing us a favor. We must be brave about that. We must be steadfast about that. As the other house, an arm of the state, we must not make apologies. So that's the reason why we see this is there. Now, what it tries to interpret is this question of the of monthly. We think that it is it must monthly. So I would propose there the last sentence says in the ANC proposal. It says excluding any month in which question the president has scheduled. We must change month to week.
By the way, that's not ANC.
It's written in the ANC there.
Just look at the top part, subsection 1. That is the technical, the rules review committee, task team, that compiles that.
Chairman, let me tell you, the proposal in any way ends with a sentence like that.
Yeah.
In the first sentence, excluding any month in which the president questions the president are scheduled. So we think that you must change month to week, so that the deputy president appears, but not just in the week in which the president has appeared. But if we keep the month, and it's efficient, it's still achieving the same purpose that I think is being proposed.
Then let us look at that. President comes to parliament 4 times a year, for 3 hours. For 2 hours now, we're sitting for 3 hours.
Yeah.
The president comes once a month for 3 hours. Then the day is just set aside for deputy president.
Yeah.
Question to the deputy president, and then everything we hope. And then I think the point that we are raising that the minister will have their own time for questions and everything, not any time on the president.
Yeah.
He is posing questions. The minister will be separate.
Is it also every month?
The ministers, I think we're dealt with it.
They're
class every month. Every month will be one class. Another month, whatever class that they are going to design.
Yeah, but that's all weeks at point.
But no, one cluster the month, they will see how we set it up in terms of the problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the point that we are in there, if we accept that the new president will want a month, 3 hours, 6 questions, that day belongs to the new president. When the president is answering questions that month, we say that firstly the proposal that the new president shouldn't answer questions that month. I'm saying that the original view, that is once a month. But now since we are amending that now in the month, in the week, when the president is answering the question, the deputy president can answer the question. But in the following week, whatever week, when the president is not answering it, will answer. But president comes 4 times a year. The deputy president once a month. I don't know how many months we are here.
Eight
or five, 7 really. And then, generally will be those issues will be worked out by the programming committee. But the programming committee are contact us next week. And Michael wanted to come? Yeah.
according to the minister's questions, I think I just understood you or not. But if you could clarify, ministers will rotate on a weekly basis.
That
has been the question. But they will not answer questions on the day when the president is scheduled to answer questions.
The deputy president,
am I?
Yes, because that has always been the problem when the president is scheduled in the week. Then the deputy president wants to questions in that week.
Yeah.
But it never meant that ministers will also not take questions in that week because the rule for ministers was different than the rule for the deputy president. The rule for the deputy president determined in that week. The rule for ministers determined on that day that the president was able to answer questions. So that's why I just wanted to
say that.
which means, for example, the president usually takes questions on a Thursday, which means the Wednesday can be a question day in the same week because it's not on the same day. And that's just what I'm trying to say. I mean, like, on the 16th of April, when the president will be here to ask questions, will be on a Thursday. But it doesn't mean that the Wednesday, which is normally the question day, cannot therefore be scheduled as questions to the minister.
Yes. I just want to say that it's day month. But the problem now, my understanding is that the programming committee will deal with the details of it.
Yeah.
The point is that I felt then it's 4 times a year, once a quarter.
Yeah.
Of course, this year is very kind to us. He is giving us another day.
Mm-hmm.
He's very kind, very voluntarily, a good, kind leadership. He's not obliged by anything, but I think he wants our house. The point that I'm saying is that if you just spend the hand on the first thing, you will decide what the day is. If it's on Wednesday, maybe I'm not sure what the minister wants, then simply means that on Thursday, you can still have ministers answering the questions. They will come for the question on those days, but what we are saying is that the day when the president is answering the question of his president, no other minister or other president will be in the in that case, they will be available. But we have to work it out. Because the problem we want me to first must interact with these offices, have discussion with them, when are they available? Because already we know now, because the president has already given us dates. We know now what the dates of the president are there, in the schedule, and close. Last year I flew to this one, the president also flew the same, to give us the available for this date, and this date, and this date, and this date. And then the problem we want to agree on that, then we set up questions for ministers, not in the case when the president also is answering questions.
Yes.
But also, we don't want 1 week, generally speaking. You have a head of state, the next day, you see the deputy president, you can't write that. Because otherwise, you crowd it. We shouldn't crowd it. Must allow enough space to work on this matter.
Okay.
Then I think you are fine on that.
You know, it's like a good business for the president that he just wants the court and we can't really meet it that much. But then, with the deputy president, and then I think when you say once a month, it must be understood that when we are not here, in that particular month, like the month of December, yes, there should be an expectation that we have got a rule that talks to once every month.
But then,
the sentence would have that impact on the rule.
And then when we are not here in January, we can't make a decision. Once we have set up a process, then I think we'll be accommodated accordingly. I think the principles are very clear. What we want to do. Leave your custom. They may appear before the privilege is coming to your head. And
now we'll appear with the ministries. We are careful not to contact now. The maker appears in front of the three power
privileges. Okay. One is that the proposal is, in fact, that there will be a mandatory state once a month during session time.
Yes.
So that includes December, of course.
Yes.
But the other thing is, and that's just something that occurs to me, on quite a number of weeks, you're going to get one question day for ministers and one question day for the deputy president.
All
the presidents.
Yeah.
So that means that Prokofiev was for 2 hours on each day, which means that on two of the five possible sitting days, you're going to be tied up with questions, which makes it all that more obvious to me that you're going to have to use military more often, because otherwise you won't have enough time in the house to do your other business.
Well, I think many plenary must be assisting us to take minutes that the facing issues to those plenaries.
Now, let's take 2 hours away from plenary. If we took 2 hours
away from plenary, and we do them, there was a conversation about plenary being cut, or plenary being done away with completely. But if a letter of the chief whip command and the what, that, if you spend 10 minutes
on the memorial. Because a lot of people are passing away and everything, so it's difficult everywhere.
Let us leave all that in the world. The problem for me to work it out, I think the principles of accounting by the president, I think that's it. Can we move that? Then the end proposal is that the proposal is that, of course, you complete get rid of the consultation leader of government business, and you put it there, and then you move on to say that there's a bullet point number two. It's just that it's not sure what it's all about there. And all that the following one bullet is about questions. The question to the president should include any question to the leader of government business for as long as the president is assigned that question. Certainly, like the president at the moment is the leader of government business. The question that can be all. But other days, the minister sometimes, not necessarily to be the president. I think that's the point I just made. And then I think the ANC is possible to them trying to get the ANC proposal, and that's what we are saying.
Yeah. You're referring to the top, to the one that is in the upper half of the page.
Because
I would like to get to the one that's the bottom of the page.
We've done with that.
We are taking the ANC formulation.
With the inclusion,
don't forget that the main one of the top team is about in consultation. I think that they should be in consultation. Then you're saying the ANC one. But there's a bullet through them in the ANC. I'm not sure what is
the question.
It was reintroducing the issues of the day for the questions of the assembly. And the deputy president's appearances in the NCP. Then the other issue of questions to the deputy president should include any questions to the LRGB for as long as the deputy president is assigned that function. Now, I don't know how practical that is going to be, quite frankly. I think we should just take note of the position, but I don't think it's going to be very practical, because obviously questions usually relate to political matters, and so be that as it may. Then I would like to just ask the committee to proceed beyond the really bold 2 and 3, which is now being deleted, to 1A. The questions to the deputy president must be limited to matters of national and international importance.
Way and sequence of using the word. So before we go there, can we finish with
one?
The MP has not finished taking the proposal of one. Now they want to jump to that constitutional decomposition. So
Kind of the same time under question in this
matter.
That's changed the issue.
It's a programming on me.
No, check. I just want, because you see, I have three documents, or two. So in the document that the MC gave, it has 1110, subsection 1, and it has 2 bullet points beneath. I need an agreement before I go to 2. What are we saying? Because I want to stick to those things.
No. The point is that bullet 1 is accepted.
Which says what?
The bullet 1 says that the question to the deputy president is said to be in accordance
with. Oh, I see. But that's not a bullet. A bullet is that 1.
It's the bullet 1.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Bullet 2 says again, when the deputy president has answered a question in NCOP, he should make a temporary expected answer to the question. That is, to the deputy. That allows the deputy to answer that question. And she, of course, said, the question to the deputy president should include any question to the federal government. If I'm not sure what that means, what that. And then for as long as the deputy president is assigned that answer. That's a question
that we do. Just like
a question. I have to talk to that LOGB. I mean, a lot of this has got to do with management.
Management,
ministers appear in the House, on the question and all that.
And, you know, just tying in really limiting it to matters of national and international importance, we've got to tie it in with also other functions assigned to him. For example, you know, he's assigned to chair tank or in general. So, you know, I think Judy spoke to us earlier on. Do we want to include this? That the deputy president is the matters of national and international importance as well as to the specific areas of competence that's assigned to him.
Yeah.
The question would be, to exclude matters relating to LOGD, if it's admin matters.
You don't answer the question that says, should we serve them the ministers or not other question in their favor? What is your view? I don't know why that is his question. We're not sure if that comes to balance. But it seems that that one is the step of it. Okay. I think the intention was that thing.
Sure. I want to just an issue with them, doesn't it? I want to be a bit more. What accepts you is bullet one with the addition, with the alteration of arms to weak. And then bullet two. Excluding any week in which questions to the president are scheduled.
That's one.
Yeah, okay. But it's a blend.
He's looking to shake it with the power and privileges. Leave my room.
So we agreed that it must change to a week. Excluding any one, because the chairperson of the explaining. It will be will cloud. We are dealing with the difference and on Wednesday, we meet the president the next day. So if the president appears this week, the deputy president will appear next week. And we're still we see well we see the month take. But also it is details that the problem in COVID will be sorted out. Now, if that one and it ends there, I'm here because two deals with if that day falls in a week in which the president is scheduled to answer questions to the assembly, or the deputy president is scheduled to answer the questions in the council, which means the other half.
Yes.
First, the president must not be scheduled for that week, but the following week. Are we there now?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that falls under the sketch.
Yeah. All right.
No, I'm covered.
Okay.
Now we are 1A question to the new president must be limited matters of national and international importance. I think including another function that is a function by president.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
No, that would be what the constitution is available. I promise you, redundant. When a president delegates a function, like a ministry is a function. But if you are considered, we know the constitution says there shall be the following ministry. So everything ordinarily is the president's responsibility. But you give him a team of people, and like we give the constitution allows you to have a team of people to say, okay, I want you to deal with a function of health, a function of this, those are the functions, the ministries. But everything that these people are dealing with, you know, national and international importance, that's enough. You don't have to say an army that are delegated by the president. So, as long as they are of national and international importance, it includes everything it involves with. It includes those things that the constitution says. This is a perfect phrase. But the position of the deputy president who must assume a function. Which the constitution elaborates, as well as the ministries and all those things. So when we say the cabinet, or like all of them, the deputy president, the function, will deal with matters of national and international importance, that is enough, that's good. We don't have to add anything else, because those functions are of national and international importance. Therefore, it will be redundant. Literally.
Okay, no.
And why is... So I'm saying what happens is they will move on. Like, those people of constitutional lecture who will do it later on,
okay, but
no.
But really, this is kind of a follow-up. You can make something
good
sense. But why did you agree then to the
clarification for the minister. Can you just that one part when we spoke about specifically the ministry, questions to the minister. You qualify with the saying you ask questions in the competence of
That's correct, the line responsibility. Yeah.
So you agree to that, so why don't you agree to this? I'm just asking. And that's a really good sense.
Yeah,
sometimes.
195. Chapter 3. 195. You must not be standing. You must be content lawmaker.
So what we were saying
there is questions must relate to matters for which cabinet member are officially responsible.
Exactly.
We have that. All cabinet members. So I'm saying if you say questions to the president must be limited to matters of national and international importance, that covers
for which he or she is officially responsible.
Yes. It's a cabinet member.
Why would you ask the deputy president about the question that does not concern his responsibility? Like, can I just conclude, ne? What I'm saying is, that thing of assigned to by the president in terms of the functions and whatnot is what I'm disagreeing with. Ne? But the elevation of this thing was in relation to the minister. It was in relation to minister, the guideline. The guideline was in minister. We have since decided to separate the deputy president and deal with him separately. Not as part of that, they are in the cabinet, but we have since decided to deal with him separately. We need not be redundant. National and international importance is adequate. Because this guy that was dealing with them as a group, a cabinet minister, was a true decided to isolate the district minister, president, deal with him head separately. To that extent, national and international importance is not adequate. Because everything he deals with.
There is another issue, and that is that if you want to include specific function responsibilities assigned to the deputy president, you need to be sure that the presidency at all times immediately informs parliament. Because there are some functions that are assigned temporarily as well in terms of Section 98 of the Constitution, temporary assignments. So, and this Parliament is fully briefed on an ongoing basis about the assignments to the deputy president. You can't implement properly.
If we say we take our lead from the Constitution, we don't only sometimes take the lead from the Constitution. We always take the lead from the Constitution. If the Constitution specifically states that as far as accountability and responsibilities are concerned, Section 92, the Deputy President and Ministers are responsible for the powers and functions of the Executive assigned to them by the President. The only thing that I'm proposing here is that the same questions to the Deputy President must be limited in matters of national and international importance as assigned to him or her by the President.
Yes.
Because then clearly, because otherwise, as Shepherd, his specific responsibilities are not assigned to the Deputy President. How must he account to Parliament in terms of questions?
There's highly appreciation of the series of the constitutional law. There are really issues there. But I do think that we have really worked. In terms of our duty today, I think we have a good decision. Tomorrow we start at 9, not 9:30, it starts 9. We continue with the deputy president and senior president and then also possible delight us, or something the easiest one. I thought that it would take us 2 minutes, but it seems to be really inclined against the greater
compassion. No, we're not
very good. They are very useful, though, because it's very powerful of us as a newborn. There's no harm in doing that. And then I think next week, then, this week, amplify the physical end, I thought it would be ours, but the men in which we are moving, I think we'll be here until on Friday. Let us prepare ourselves until Friday. And there will be no proposal now.
No proposal?
No.
Proposal?
What proposal?
The proposal says that if it is needed, maybe after the vote, it will have to go. It's a much more possible time for the some of us are in the country. I'm making an idea.
There will be no, but if we start at 9:30, we end at 5:00. Don't forget that what we have to do, colleagues, is to finalize what is given to us until Friday.
Yes.
We have applied for today until Friday. Let us happen for us everything that is given us to finalize in the next 3 days or so. And then if tomorrow we are able to be moving until 5 and we conclude everything fine. But I don't think we'll be there taking the general. I think it's very difficult to move. And tomorrow is going to be coming with 200 members. But what is that? I think
what allow me to be.
No, you're protected. Colleagues, let us meet tomorrow at
9:30.
And I think we'll be able to move. The two things that I have to realize is president now is very easy. Because we have dealt with the different services. It's very easy. I think 20 minutes are on. We go through messages. And then the least work that is going to be there, we are going to deal with principles and committees. Not read all the minute details. Because if we want to do so, we'll be here for years.
Yes.
We are going to deal with main principle points. And therefore, let them move on. And I think we can be able to end our task tomorrow. But as long as we start on time, can bring another member if possible.
The member
because we want you also to assist on some of that. Of course, what we have to do is to write them before tomorrow.
Secretary tonight.
Colleagues, thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor, and the supporting us.
It's very exhaustive.